If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
First of all, how would you rate the program? Would you say it was excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor?
I think I'd give it a poor.
The next word is funny. Would you say it is very descriptive, somewhat descriptive, or not at all descriptive of the show?
No, not at all descriptive.
White people were blessed with the gift of structure and organization. You guys do a good job of building businesses and things of that nature. And you know how to tap into money.
And why does this delight the Negro?
How you doing?
Excellent question.
It's like a roller coaster ride of emotion in here.
Goal! Goal!
And now. Our feature presentation.
So the dude that was in the grave, who was the dude that was in the grave?
Oh, don't start with that.
Because I'm...
I don't know.
I'm confused.
You're talking about last night's heroes?
Of course you're confused.
The dude that was in the grave that was yelling...
That was Siler.
Well, how did he get out then?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was not Siler. I don't mean Siler. I mean, it was Adam. It was Adam. It was Sark is who it was. That's who it was. Because he can't be killed, so Hero decided to bury him alive so that he can't go wreak havoc on the rest of the world because you can't kill him.
I gotcha.
Because he lives forever. Now he'll live forever underground. However, by the way, spoiler alert here. Maybe too late now if you haven't seen last night's Heroes. But it sounded to me, the way it was shot, like you could hear him yelling if you're walking through the graveyard, which means somebody's going to dig him out.
That's definitely how it sounded. Yeah, you could hear him from walking out. Yeah, of course, yeah. So someone is going to discover him, I imagine.
Yeah, so that's no good.
Since the next segment is villains.
Right, exactly.
That'll probably be it.
Siler needs a wax, though. Somebody needs to do something with that dude. Is too hairy to be on TV.
He's hard to watch sometimes.
He is. He's so hairy. Those eyebrows have got to go. Yeah. That's why Carolla's on radio. Guys like that are so hairy or make little kids uncomfortable.
I didn't have that thought one time.
Every time I see him,
you're not paying attention.
You just
then.
Want he to needs
Yeah, they need to dip that dude in Nair, man. They need to just bury him in Nair is what they need to do.
Absolutely.
But it was good.
Except for you killed off what's-her-name.
How did I kill off what's-her-name?
By
the way, I'm a little ticked off with how many people die on that show and then aren't dead. I'm getting a little bored with that plot device.
Well, that does happen a lot. That's true.
Yeah, it's happened about 5 times already on this show. Yeah. If you're dead, you're dead. That's the new rule. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you tell him, Bean.
I get to pick the new rules. But that was my fear when she was offered yesterday,
that's what
they do.
Yes. I know, and we asked her specifically, are you on our show because you're going to die? And she said, don't be ridiculous.
Things seem one way, but then they're another. It'll be all surprising.
I mean, it is possible, especially with this show, that she, ran out another door. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, exactly. She could be back.
What's going on?
Hey, we saw Horn Rim Glasses guy get riddled with bullets 2 weeks ago. Remember? He was dead.
Yeah.
So and we saw Maya get killed on the show last night.
Yeah.
She was dead. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
There was all that.
Yeah. So anyway.
And then Peter, right?
Peter's been dead before, too. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's hard to do the body count.
But you don't really, know. That's
when
true.
When people keep coming back.
You never know how long the body's going to be there before they actually come back to life.
Kind of annoying for statisticians, I think.
Do we have a lot of them?
Well, a few.
All right.
I'm going to miss Heroes, but I'm not going to miss it tonight during the 1 hour of the Victoria's Secret fashion show. I'm not going to miss Heroes
tonight
because that is tonight's the show. Yeah,
too bad. I don't really enjoy watching that.
Women, I know, but you kind of feel like you have to for work, though. Yeah,
I have to cover it
for the show.
For the show,
the responsible thing to do.
Yeah,
right. So let me just mention real quick, because I got a ton of emails. I guess it must have made the national news or something yesterday. But second rainiest 24-hour period in Seattle history since records have been kept yesterday. Yeah. I think we had 5.5 inches of rain, maybe.
Oh, my God. That washes.
What's it take about 2 years for you to get that much?
That washes that washes Los Angeles right into the ocean.
We'd
five
be
and a half inches.
So happy if we could get 5 inches of rain.
Yeah.
Within 2 years, that'd be awesome.
It was quite a storm, and the worst part, and I've never heard this before. You know, this is my ninth winter living in Western Washington. Okay,
wow.
So I mean, I have some context of seeing what it normally is like, but they had 20 miles of Interstate 5 that's still underwater, that's closed, and the detour for cars is 150 miles to get around it.
Oh my God. For trucks,
it's 300 miles to get around it.
Wow.
That's all?
Tell me that's not a bloody mess.
Yeah, no kidding. How's the farm? Is it all underwater?
No, it's fine. I mean, we got terrific drainage. That's something I pay attention to make sure it stays good. I got lots of drains and stuff. So, yeah, it was fine. I mean, I was fine. But, over 5 inches of rain in one day, that's wet is what that is.
That is wet. It's not a dry day.
That's Lisa May at the Miss Double December pageant. That's how wet that is.
Exactly right.
And by the way, I should mention, and just to PS that, thank you for all the emails about that with people asking. I appreciate that. But I should mention that Lightning's video is up from Miss Double December pageant, the live Friday morning show that we did in Fullerton. And you can see all of the girls in their swimsuits. You can see talent competitions. You can see interview questions. You can see Cassidy actually get crowned. It's all up there at krock.com in the Kevin and Bean section. You should definitely check it out today. This is the video you've been waiting for. This is the video the internet was invented for.
Yeah, this is the exact right use. This and the Victoria's Secret shows.
Absolutely.
Needs to be on. Do they do that online too, or is it just on CBS?
I don't know. You mean is it streamed online?
Well,
is it live
just,
at the same time? Is that what you mean?
I'm just afraid that they're going to censor it an extreme amount because of the company that's broadcasting it.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe they have a better version, online or something.
The one without lingerie? That's the one I'm waiting for.
Yeah, that one, where they walk out nude.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so, but we can certainly check that.
So last night, it's Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, and it's Tuesday, the 4th of Double December.
Nice melons.
A little loud.
Yeah.
So last night I was playing poker and watching the Monday Night Football game.
Uh-huh.
And we'd all have our cards, and we'd be betting and, call. And then all of a sudden, we'd all look over at the game and just jump up and run over in front of the game and go, oh, my God! Oh, no! It was an unbelievable football game last night. Did you watch any of it, Bean?
I saw a little bit of it, yeah. Now, when you say, oh, no, is it because you're rooting for New England, or are you rooting for Baltimore?
Well, I was in a room full of people who had New England in a last man standing.
Oh, okay.
So they picked
suicide
New England,
pool, right?
Suicide pool that was worth I don't remember. It was like $10,000-$20,000, some huge amount
wow.
of money,
dude.
And they were going crazy because this is New England. They're supposed to. And they were behind most of the game.
And yeah, and this was another game, by the way, where New England was favored by 20 points
yep.
or more, too. Baltimore had lost five in a row going in, and it was expected to just be one of those good old-fashioned blowouts from the first part of the season. And New England was behind, I guess, in most of the game and up to and including the last plays of the game.
In the last minute, they scored, and then the other team threw a pass all the way down to, like, the 2-yard line.
52-yard pass
time
to get them on the three.
Yeah. So they're on the 3-yard line and time ran out.
Wow.
It was unbelievable that game.
That's tight right there.
That was good times.
And what's amazing about that final New England drive, and this is why Tom Brady is the man, this is why he's got balls of steel, is that he had to go 73 yards, two fourth down conversions within that. And
yep.
for folks who don't follow football, fourth down conversion, you either make the yardage for the first down or that's it. The other team gets the ball and you done.
Yeah.
So, the most pressure-filled situation there is, and he just kept his cool and found his man, and everything was on the line, and he came through again.
And there was weird stuff that happened, too, in the game. One of the coaches, I think, called a timeout just before Baltimore stopped them on fourth down. It would have been their ball, would have been game over.
Oh,
somebody
wow.
called a timeout on the team that was playing defense and did really well. Someone called a
yes.
timeout.
No
so
kidding.
That play didn't count. It was really bizarre.
Huh. It was a bizarre game. And they've got the Patriots have the Pittsburgh Steelers
yep.
next week, which is a much better team. And, if they're going to play like they have the last 2 weeks, they may not win that one.
But
right now, they're the sixth team so far in NFL history to go 12-0.
Unbeaten.
That is unbelievable.
So they're doing well. They also have Miami coming up, though, so that's going to be a...
Wouldn't that be awesome if that was the upset? That was
Miami
the one that
beats them.
That was the one that that won and lost the first game of the season for each team. That'd
yeah.
be amazing.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? Tuesday morning show. We have your tickets in the pit for both nights this morning coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're nice.
You know why?
Tattoo Tuesday.
That's why.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
That's right. Huh. It's Tattoo Tuesday. A lot of people didn't realize
that. Wow.
Fantastic.
So we'll explain that coming up. We have Ralph's Video Vault. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is the name of the horrible movie.
I've never
Finally,
seen this
Finally, we get
movie.
To that today. Oh, you haven't, Lisa?
No.
I haven't either.
Boy, very excited.
It is. It's as low budget as you get,
just
especially
a
for
stinker.
A movie that's, you know, that involves space travel and living on Mars. It's. I mean, it's. Well, I'll let Ralph explain. It's a classic, though.
Okay.
Craig Ferguson in our studios today.
In the studio.
Fergie's coming
yep.
in.
That's so cool.
Well, he's got nothing else to do.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's going to be coming in the studio this morning. We are going to talk to somebody from the OC Water District about their toilet to tap program.
Oh yeah.
You're drinking urine down there now in Orange County. That's how it works.
At best, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Drinking urine. Man, it just seems like a bad plan. I don't care if they filter it for 100,000 years. To me, I'd just rather buy some bottled water or something. I don't want to be drinking anything. I can't say that.
Okay.
I can't say that. I need to edit myself. Also on today's show, we're going to pick a street team member and give away some tickets for Acoustic Christmas. We have Bean's blog, which is spectacular.
Oh, I don't know that we need to revisit that. I think you covered that well.
We
recently.
Could do that every day, actually.
Yeah.
Come on.
And we have the kid that plays McLovin in Superbad on the program today because Superbad comes out on DVD.
Oh, that's cool.
So, that's his real name, McLovin, right? He got that.
It is,
got a change
on his license.
Mm-hmm. On his license, yeah, that's great.
So that's coming up this morning. We got the Ralph Showbiz Beat. That's coming up.
So what about winning pit tickets for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 shows this Saturday and Sunday at the Gibson? What about that?
Might you be talking about
Tattoo Tuesday?
Really? It's Tattoo Tuesday?
Might that be what you're talking about?
Tattoo Tuesday.
Well, that's not going to be. Old.
Oh, I've
minutes.
Only just begun, yeah. my friend.
That's not annoying.
Let me tell you something about
Tuesday.
Why do we give some Kevin these buttons? That's the problem.
It's a great question, Ralph. Some of the bands that are playing this weekend and some of the bands that we enjoy here on K-Rock on a regular basis are the kinds of bands that people are so passionate about that they tend to go out and get inked up over. I mean, let's face it. How many Bad Religion tattoos have we seen over the years, for instance? I mean, that's a great example of a band that just their fans want to represent 24/7. And that's why we thought this might be a great opportunity if you have the tattoos of one of the bands that's playing this weekend to give you a chance to, you know, to earn something for it.
And we're looking for the largest tattoo of any K-Rock listener of the bands that are playing. So any of the bands that are playing K-Rock's Acoustic Christmas, either Saturday night or Sunday night, if you have a tattoo from one of those bands, the vans are out in five different locations all over Southern California. And if you just go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, you can click on
Tattoo Tuesday.
And there are listings in Costa Mesa, in Pasadena, in West LA, in Long Beach, and in Rancho Cucamonga. And you just show up and you show them your tattoo. They measure it. We're going to find the biggest one. And you're going to win pit tickets for both nights, Saturday and Sunday.
Nice.
Unfortunately, Psycho Mike, you got the full-on back tattoo of Angels and Airwaves, but you're not eligible because you already work for K-Rock, so you can't win the tickets.
I know.
There's nothing you can do there. So.
And ironically, I'm getting that Vice tattoo on my thigh tomorrow.
Oh, just too late.
I know.
Too late.
Wow.
Anyway, five Wahoo's Fish Taco locations at krock.com. Just go to the, just look for it says the tattoo for pit tickets. And then head on out. 9 o'clock this morning is the cutoff. So there's no reason to race. Just be there by nine, have the biggest tattoo, and you win. It's 5:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
That's square inchage.
Yes.
Square inchage?
Square inchage. That's how
we measure.
If you got a real long, drawn out Linkin Park, but it's really skinny, you may not win.
Because I see.
It's square inches. We have to multiply the length by the width.
What could go wrong with that measurement?
With our promotions department, we've given them all calculators. It's okay.
Okay.
Hopefully,
Lisa, don't you have a formula for measuring the length by the width? I mean, you got something you use anyway.
I do actually.
Well, after a 4-day hiatus, the striking Writers Guild members are returning to the bargaining table with the producers, so hopefully we'll see some movement in that today. Speaking of which, over the weekend, Elizabeth Taylor, legendary film actress, went back to work for a one-day special appearance where she did a play at Paramount Studios with James Earl Jones as a fundraiser and celebration of World AIDS Day. You know, she's a huge AIDS activist.
Right.
She loves the AIDS.
No.
She doesn't really love the AIDS. She wants AIDS to be eradicated.
She loves the fight.
She's been working towards that. And she said that she couldn't go to Paramount Studios to do the play if the writers were striking. She wouldn't, in good conscience, be able to cross that picket line. So the AIDS organization asked the striking employees if they would be willing to put down their signs for one night so that she could enter the studio with a clear conscience. And they said they'd be willing to do it for the cause of AIDS prevention.
That's
so
nice.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
Meanwhile, last night, Carson Daly was back on the air.
Yes.
After crossing the picket line, and he's a douchebag.
What did he have to say about it, if anything?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just know he's a douchebag. Doing it. Speaking of television, tonight, as you guys have mentioned, the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show is on.
If that's your thing, if that's your kind
Me?
Of thing.
I'll be watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's what I'll be doing.
I want to be a dentist.
Love that.
Yeah, but you're kidding about watching
Bumbles Bounce!
Instead of Victoria's
Secret. I'm Yukon Cornelius! Love that show. Ah, that's what I thought, Owen Wilson. Bitch.
Oh, what?
Apparently, Owen Wilson is saying that he's not dating Bionic Woman Michelle Ryan.
Backed right off, didn't
That's
he?
What I'm saying.
Wow, you scared him right off.
Yeah, yep. So stand down and shut up.
Wow.
I told him I was bringing it, and all of a sudden, no, sir, no, no, I'm not dating her, no, please, sir. That's what I thought. Michelle also echoed the sentiment, saying she's definitely not dating Owen because she's never even met him.
Well, okay.
No kidding.
And she's waiting for someone else, she said.
That's how afraid of you they are, is they're to the point now where they're not even admitting that they know each other.
Well, Wilson obviously called her and said, look, do me a favor, just say you never even met me. Mm-hmm. So Garmin's going to kick my ass.
Yeah.
She said, all right, I'll do it for you, Owen.
That sounds likely.
They're all scared of me. They're all scared of me. Mm-hmm. Dude, if you got into a fight with Owen Wilson, how easy would it be to break his nose? Seriously. You could just throw a punch anywhere in the general vicinity of his head.
That's true.
Odds are you'd break his
nose.
He'd
would
look
catch
about
it.
The same, though.
That's true. Speaking of celebrity relationships, Michael Vartan, you know him from Alias.
Sure.
He's got a new girlfriend, according to Star Magazine, and I'm very, very jealous. He is dating Chuck star Sarah Lancaster.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys watch Chuck or not.
She's a CIA chick?
No, Sarah is Chuck's sister on that show.
Oh, okay.
The brunette who plays his sister, who's just smoking hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently they're in a relationship. And it looks like if you want to take tips on how to keep a relationship quiet, Ethan Hawke's the guy to talk to.
Yeah, I haven't heard his name in a while.
I know. He has been secretly dating his ex-nanny for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
The nanny who was raising his child with Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm. Now, did he cheat on Uma with her? Is that what led to the breakup of the relationship?
No.
No, he cheated with someone else.
Oh, okay.
He says they never became romantic until a year after he had split up with Uma. So,
sure.
It has nothing to do with the relationship.
No, I believe that.
It's true, man.
This is how it happened. One night she came up to him and she said,
if you could give me a pearl necklace tonight, I really need one.
Yeah.
He said, all right. That's what you need.
Here's something that's a bad idea. Alec Baldwin says he wants more kids.
Oh
good.
No.
Yeah. According to Star Magazine, of course, Alec is still fighting over custody of his daughter, Ireland, with his ex-wife, Kim Basinger. But he's currently talking about having another child with his girlfriend, Nicole Seidel. Is Alec really the guy we want raising another child?
No.
I think he's got some anger issues with children,
yeah,
doesn't he?
A little bit.
If I remember correctly?
He wants one that he can own outright, that he doesn't have to share.
Plus one that won't be a selfish little pig.
You remember the phone message?
Yes.
The famous phone message.
No, that's not.
That was inappropriate. I agree.
No. Think
you're crazy. That doesn't seem right.
Not Alec Baldwin.
Was
that was POB.
Oh, sorry.
This is what Alec Baldwin's phone call sounded like.
I made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time. When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go when I make that phone call. I want you to know something, okay? I'm leaving this message with you to tell you, you have insulted me for the last time. You don't have the brains or the decency. As a human being, you have humiliated me for the last time with this phone. You've made me feel like shit. And you've made me feel like a fool over and over and over again.
All right.
And this crap you pull on me with this goddamn phone situation, you are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give him another kid.
Wow. He's ready.
Sure. That kid will behave, I'll tell you that much.
All my money on hookers. I spent all my money on blow.
Same again?
No. I spent all my money on everything.
Right.
I don't even know where to go.
Okay.
Speaking of kids, it's official, of course. DNA evidence has proved that Eddie Murphy is officially the biological father of Melanie Brown. Scary Spice's baby, Angel Iris.
Sure.
Here's the thing. He has still yet to meet the child.
That's sad.
She said she's probably going to introduce the two when they face off in court over child custody.
That's the way you want to meet.
He's a cool dude.
Keeping it real.
This Desperate Housewives thing is still a monster ratings grabber.
Is it?
This show. Apparently, it pulled in about 21 million viewers Sunday night, according to Nielsen's overnight estimates.
You don't see those numbers very often.
No,
anymore.
You don't. It was the special Twister episode where a tornado tore through Happy Valley, wherever the F they
live. I thought they were playing Twister.
No.
Would have been better.
No, it would have been better. But no, apparently a big tornado tore through the neighborhood and things happened.
I think it may be Wisteria Lane, perhaps more than Happy Valley.
That's it. That's it. And I don't know if you saw CSI Miami last night or the Charlie Brown Christmas special, but there was a special Mr. Whipple Memorial.
No.
Yes. Dick Wilson, the actor who played Mr. Whipple for many years for the Charmin toilet paper company, has passed away. And so they did a special retrospective commercial showing clips of Mr. Whipple squeezing the Charmin, and then a black screen followed with In Memoriam at the end.
See, this is why we're not watching TV. People get obsessed.
It's very touching.
Wow.
Goodbye, Mr. Whipple. We miss you.
We don't miss Mr. Whipple.
We miss Mr. Whipple.
Not at all.
Who knew he was still alive? Come on, Ralph.
No one.
Good point.
And you hear about Montel Williams?
No.
This is spectacular. He's had to deliver an apology to an intern from a newspaper called the Savannah Morning News. Apparently, a high school student named Courtney Scott was interviewing Montel when he cut the interview short after being upset by being asked a question about the rising drug costs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he'd be upset about that. Maybe he's got some ties with the pharmaceutical industry or
something. That's a weird thing.
I don't know. Anyway, she shows up at his hotel, coincidentally, on another assignment. And he spots her and accuses her of stalking and following him. That's when he screamed in front of witnesses, "I will look you up, find where you live, and blow you up."
Ooh.
What?
This is a high school student.
Montel Williams?
Montel.
Oh, my God.
What?
She filed a police report, and now he has apologized and will apologize to her on his TV show as well, saying that may not have been appropriate.
Wow.
Montel hasn't been stalked since the 1980s.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was still on the air. But apparently Montel said he was going to look her up and then blow her up. Which seems an overreaction.
Just a bit.
I don't have time for it here, but an hour. We'll talk about Katherine Heigl and why she's a
best.
Ungrateful little bitch.
How dare you.
And we love her.
And you don't love her.
We do.
She's awesome.
Wait to hear what she has to say.
We love her.
You don't love her. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Love.
Max Baer Jr., no, you don't, who played Jethro Bodine on the Beverly Hillbillies.
I love
70 him. Years old today. Jeff Bridges, no, you don't, is one of my favorite actors of all time. He is 58 years old today. It was a great pleasure meeting him when he came here into the studio. You don't, Chelsea Noble, who, of course, played Kate on Growing Pains and went on to marry her Growing Pains co-star, Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
She's spectacularly hot. You don't love her. He's 43 years old today.
Where's the love?
Here. By the way, if you ever get a chance to meet Kirk Cameron, ask him how a banana proves there's God. It's fascinating.
He can tell you that?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh,
do you have a theory?
Oh, you'll enjoy it.
He's basing it on a banana?
Oh, you have no idea.
All right.
Katherine Heigl proves there's God.
We got to get some footage of him talking about how there's proof that there's a God, largely because of things like a banana.
Awesome.
He's one of those guys who goes out on the road and invites people to come up and challenge him about the validity of the Bible, right?
He's got a TV show where he goes down Venice Beach and asks people, do you believe in God, and then proves them wrong if they say, I'm not sure.
Well, you can't prove it or disprove it. That's why it's called faith, Kirk.
That's where you're wrong, and that's where Kirk Cameron will tell you you're wrong.
That's where you don't understand.
Is that there is empirical evidence, and you're just choosing not to see it, douchebag.
Okay.
We should have him on. It's spectacular.
So that
we
is
should?
A banana in his pants?
It's a banana in his pants. He's glad to
That's
see
it. That's
what him. It is. Yeah. Marissa Tomei turns 43 years old today. And Tyra Banks is a whore and is also 34 years old today.
Oh, dear God.
And I hope it's her last birthday.
As do I.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So it's not just Tuesday, you're telling me. It's
Tat Tuesday!
But a little slow.
No, that's all right. Timing's good.
You can go to KROQ.com or call Dave, the King of Mexico, here at the station if you want to know the locations that the KROQ vans are out until 9 o'clock this morning. We're looking for the largest tattoo of a K-Rock band playing this weekend's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 shows. If you have it and you're at that location by 9 o'clock, you will win tickets in the pit. Again, all the details are at krock.com, or you can call Dave for the locations.
Dear blog, I don't like tattoos. Why do so many people have tattoos? I think people shouldn't have so many tattoos, or when they do, it bothers me when they have tattoos. Dear blog, oh, here's a picture of a tattoo. I took this photo of a tattoo. Do you like tattoos? I don't like tattoos, dear blog. Go kill yourself.
Why are you now hating on the blog?
I've been getting a ton of abuse from Kevin.
But why
as
you
blogged, I have been hating it. Because it is, once again, the pinnacle of self-involved minutia, just to the point of saturation. The point of, like, I have tiny little meaningless thoughts in my head, but it's not enough to keep them in there. I must somehow share them with the world because they're so pointless and meaningless that somehow other people would just love to be in on the conversation.
Beans, blog, beans, blog, beans, blog. Beans, blog, beans, blog, beans, blog. Beans, blog, beans, blog. No one gives a fuck.
It's a voluntary site on the internet, though. Nobody is being forced to look at it.
I understand that. But by the act of doing it, you somehow think that what the goddamn flavor of ice cream you're eating that night means anything to anybody. By sheer act of putting it on the internet, you believe it has some sort of significance. And I hate you for that. Because it doesn't. It does
Oftentimes, I write things because I enjoy writing them.
Right, that's called a diary.
Yeah. And how do you not know that thought? Do you not realize you had that thought until you write it down? Do you have to read it back to yourself to make sure you had it? You know, when I have a thought, say, geez, I'd like a cup of coffee right now. I have to write that. I would like a cup of coffee. Oh, look at that. I want some coffee. I have immediate access to my brain at all times. I don't need to write it and put it on the internet.
You know, I've heard Ralph Haight before. I've heard the rants that he's done on the air of over people and things for
and
so long.
And rightfully so.
But I think he hates me worse than he hates Owen Wilson at this point.
All right, November 17, 2007. This is on Bean's blog.
Stronglywordedletter.com, by the way.
And by the way, you say it's voluntary. Bean does bring it up in this room off the air to Lisa or me or Mike. Maybe once a day.
Yeah. Oh, because check my blog. I think you'll, I think you'll be interested.
Hey, I read this on my blog.
I read on my blog.
Yes.
And he puts at the bottom of his emails, too. When you get an email from Bean, at the bottom is a little link where you can go to stronglywordedletter.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. November 17, 2007. Ice cream, you scream. This is the one Ralph was talking about. He's got two pictures of the top of an ice cream container that he took in the store. You can tell the holidays are really here when the Dreyer's ice cream specialty flavors start to appear in your grocer's freezer. I got excited at the word peppermint on the first carton I spied with my little eye last night while grocery shopping.
Come on.
He's got a little eye, Ralph.
Little brown eye.
Then my heart raced when I noticed the eggnog flavor right next to it. But wait. Something's wrong. Where's the reason for the season? We're already past Halloween and less than a week from Thanksgiving. Where's the Dreyer's pumpkin ice cream?
Good question, Kevin.
Then another picture of an ice cream container takes up about a full half of the page, this photo.
It's poster-sized.
And then it says, oh, whew, okay, my bad. It's over here in the adjacent aisle. I'll just go pick some up now and get on home. Uh-oh. This can't be. That's not my beloved pumpkin ice cream. It just looks exactly like it. But this is something called Swiss orange. And it's not even ice cream. Oh, my God, it's sherbet. What is this, Mexico?
What? How do you get Mexico?
God.
I feel a strongly worded letter coming on unless that freezer looks very different on my next visit. Count on it.
Oh
my God.
Bean, shut up, shut up.
Come on.
Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Shut up!
And the childlike style with which you write this crap,
yeah.
this claptrap, this garbage, this pointless prose of yours, it's like Dr. Seuss for retards.
But in my defense, who doesn't get excited about the pumpkin-flavored ice cream every year?
Lots of people!
Adults!
Then you get excited about it, and then you find out it's not there yet, and it's disappointing. Bean. And it gives you a way to deal with the pain, to have an outlet to be able to write that down.
Here's some insight, Bean. I have favorite flavors of ice cream, and when they're not there, I go, bummer, I'll have to check back. That's it! That's my whole interaction
Moving on.
Don't need to share it with the world.
Back to life. Back to the real world now, after the whole ice cream thing.
So my favorite new thing are the people who read Bean's blog and then write comments back.
These mother effers
have
to be just...
They're worse!
They are.
They have to be disintegrated. They just have to be turned into a fine pink mist.
L.S. wrote...
like a bouncing Betty mine.
L.S. wrote, Trader Joe's pumpkin ice cream rocks. Eat up, Bean. I did.
Oh, God.
Rachel writes...
Okay. I would like to find him while he's eating ice cream and jam the spoon while he's got it in his mouth and just drive it through the back of his skull, severing his cerebral cortex.
Rachel writes, I love that you not only were excited about the ice cream, but lined them up, broke out the camera, and took a picture, then went down another aisle and did it again. Bummer about the flavor not being available, though.
Rachel loves that part of the blog.
Yes.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
There's a Beans blog enthusiast right
She's
there.
I'm not the
only
one.
There's a girl who hasn't had a date in 20
years. She's got a lot of
years.
Cats. She's got a lot of cats,
yes,
Lisa. That's what I'm telling you.
She sits in a corner and eats ice cream. Yeah. That's
Beans
what that
blog,
is.
Beans blog, no one gives a fuck.
Bean is the king of the social retards. Yes. He is their leader.
That's true.
Yes, he's
that's
their
true.
Emperor.
This one is November 29, 2007, and the headline is, This is an Outrage.
Uh-oh.
Here's the big gulp machine at my favorite 7-Eleven store taken yesterday. There's a photo, about a quarter page photo of his big gulp machine in the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a big deal to you, but to me, the big gulp machine is like the sun to a plant or a mother's bosom to a baby. It's the source of one of life's greatest joys.
He acknowledges, by the way, it may be nothing to you. Exactly. Boom. Stop. Do not continue. Go no further. Do not collect $200. Do not go past go.
But see, here's
I was trying to give some context to why I felt so strongly about this because I'm a big fan of the big gold machine. That's all.
It doesn't make
any sense that I have feelings about it unless you know the context of where I'm coming.
Still
from.
Doesn't make any sense, by the way, once the context has been established.
Here's what I like though, is like people say kids, spouse, friends, you know. Bean says, it's the source of one of life's greatest joys, the big gulp. One of life's greatest joys.
It's just...
So much for the Bean, huh?
It's a soda machine. You can run into those anywhere.
But wait, Lisa, now there's trouble in paradise. See where it says, Manzanita Soul? Yeah, that wasn't there the day before. It seems to be some sort of apple soda. What I do know about this is that in addition to the large panel of advertising that went in, the store also replaced the cherry cola fountain drink option in the big gulp machine with this new stuff. No cherry Coke, no peace, right? Cherry Coke is, along with its beautiful twin sister, vanilla Coke, what made America great.
Now, you can't argue with that.
To add considerable insult to an almost inhuman amount of injury, this new Mexican soda is made by Pepsi. Pepsi, the devil's pee.
Oh, God, I can't believe this, Bean.
Pepsi products instead of Coca-Cola products? Why not dirt instead of cake? How about hate instead of love? How about rats instead of dogs? Do
exactly.
I need to go on?
You didn't need to start, quite honestly.
That's the point. That is the point, Lisa. You didn't need to start. And now you should be raped with a 2-liter Pepsi bottle.
Pepsi instead of Coke? Maybe you'd prefer the Biggest Loser to The Office. B. Arthur to Beyonce.
No.
How about getting polio instead of a good night's sleep? And he goes on.
See, this is Bean. Watch how clever I can be with my metaphors and similes. Oh, I love me.
So Chris writes
back.
It's
not that I love me. It's that I hate Pepsi.
You love you more than anybody.
It's that I hate Pepsi.
Just put it away. Just
that's
put your
the point
minuscule, just your pointless points, put them away.
Come on, Cherry Coke along with its beautiful twin sister Vanilla Coke. Come on. That's a little precious, isn't it?
They're both outstanding beverages. That's all. They deserve to be acknowledged.
Half.
And you can buy them still in cans
tons
in any
of places,
store.
Tons of places.
I don't do
Go
so.
Go get some and shut
well,
up.
Too bad for you, then.
Chris writes, wow, do I feel you, brother. Pepsi is awful. I won't even go into Pepsi-associated restaurants. Taco Bell, Subway, Quiznos. And
right
he goes, and that guy goes on and on.
This
and on.
Is why they should
right
have
on.
Dropped the virus last night on Heroes.
Yes,
I'm
they
telling
should've.
You, most people are assholes.
And then
and Bean is the king.
And then the guy that won't go to the restaurants goes on. Also, while on the subject, Diet Coke tastes much better through a straw with a large diameter. Not sure why, but I verified this with a number of people. Kind of weird, but true.
Okay, this guy weighs 350 plus.
Yeah. He's
that's all that he's
washing
got in
down
his
the
life.
Twinkies with the Diet Cola.
Beans blog, no one gives a fuck.
I need a bigger straw.
Now, you may have picked out 2 days that might have been the lighter side of the news, Kevin, but I'm saying there's lots of other things. I mean,
November 23rd, 2007, cuteness alert.
Oh, my God.
Cuteness alert, Ralph.
I can't wait to see Bean. I'm going to set him on fire. Look at that freaking dog.
Full page picture of his dog.
In case nobody doesn't know what a dog looks like, here's one.
And then he writes, if A, all bulldogs are cute, and B, Tater Tot is a bulldog, then C, Tater Tot is the cutest dog in the world.
Hard to argue with that.
After
I know
that,
the math may not work out, but I think it's a true statement.
After that page, he says, bonus points. I ran into this 3-year-old named Chunk while walking down on Broadway Avenue recently. Fortunately, his owner allowed me to take a picture.
Full page picture
of another dog.
Bonus points. Now, bonus points.
Here's what you're going to love, Ralph. The people who wrote back. Diane commented on that. Double the fun, Tater Tot and Chunk.
Oh, I want to put a grenade in her vulva.
Bean's blog, Bean's blog, no one gives a fuck.
L.A. wrote, it's cute overload today.
Oh.
Someone named Me wrote, wow, you must have had some kind of feeling that I really needed a good pick-me-up today. Yesterday was horrible, but seeing not only the most beautiful dog, Tater Tot, and then the added bonus of Chuck helped put the first smile on my face since yesterday. You may not think it's much, but seriously, this made my day.
I hope that person gets cancer and sees what a bad day is really like and how much a picture of Chunk won't help her when real life steps in and crushes her little fantasy land.
By the way, I like that the dog's name is Chunk and she called it Chuck. She didn't even get that right. And finally,
Come on.
Sorry, we're out of time.
One more a comment left on that particular topic. Is it ridiculous to say that an immediate smile and tears started building up from seeing little baby Tater Tot?
Oh, come on.
I can't stand how perfect she is in every way.
Well, that is true. It's
Thank
hard to
you,
argue with
Bean.
That.
3 exclamation points. I now look forward to Fridays more. Give the Tot kisses and take care.
So these the people are happy. Making
these
the people
are the
happy.
People that need to be taken out of the tribe.
I agree.
They need to be cut loose in the desert on their own.
It's bad enough that Bean writes this drivel. People respond to it.
And this is the problem, is he's supporting and inspiring this sort of mental retardation. This backward, social, tragic. These people are being bolstered by the crap that he's publishing on the internet. I can't. Oh, Acoustic Christmas can't come fast. I'm going to punch you right in the face.
No one gives up.
By now, you know the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 shows are this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Tickets go on sale Thursday afternoon, 5 p.m. for night number one, 6 p.m. for night number two. Yesterday, by the way, is the day we mailed out the password to the K-Rock Street Team members. You do have to be a Street Team member to win them. And we've been giving away tickets to the Street Team for the last couple of weeks. I think we got more to give away right now.
What we do, as a matter of fact, let's dial random Street Team member.
Okay.
Love this. They may have signed up to be a member of the Street Team 2 years ago, may not even be paying attention, may not even know Acoustic Christmas is just around the corner, and boom, out of the blue, we call and give them tickets.
Calling Fountain Valley.
Hello?
Hello, we're looking for Beth, please.
Let me see. Who's calling?
It's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock.
Hold on.
All right.
Mom had an urgency in her voice, didn't she?
Yeah.
Hello? Just a minute.
Okay, thank you.
Don't hang up.
Beth in Fountain Valley is about to get a big surprise here.
Mom's screening Beth's calls, by the way. There's some kind of trouble at home with Beth.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Beth's dating the wrong crowd, something.
Yeah.
Got some bad friends, you know, bad influences, that kind of thing.
Beth?
Hey, Beth. Beth?
Hi.
Hey, Kevin and Bean here. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We are good.
What what are you wearing? Wait, how old is Beth? Do we know?
She's 19.
She sounds young.
Oh, hey,
what are you
wearing, Beth? Were you asleep? Did we wake you up?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Well, listen, we're calling Street Team members to give away tickets to the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 shows this weekend.
We are serious.
I don't know if that's something you're interested in or not, but we can hook you up if you want to go.
Yes.
So you're a Street Team member, right?
Yes.
Beth Poplusky.
Yeah.
Of Fountain Valley. You got tickets for night number one of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007.
Oh, my God.
We're just going to give them to you for free for being a Street Team member.
Oh, I've never won anything in my life.
And you didn't even have to call. How about that?
Yeah.
You didn't even have to be awake. That's how easy this game is.
Listen. You guys were joking.
Linkin Park, Angels and Airwaves, Avenged Sevenfold, Bad Religion, Paramore, Rise Against, Serj Tankian, and Little Beth from Fountain Valley. That's all going to be happening Saturday night at the Gibson, okay?
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, bye now.
It is
Tat Tuesday,
that's correct. We're giving away tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas in the pit for both nights. If you have the biggest tattoo of one of the bands that is playing, you can go to krock.com, click on the Kevin and Bean page, or call Dave the King of Mexico here at K-Rock for the locations. The K-Rock vans will be at five different Wahoos.
Okay.
This morning until 9 a.m. One in Costa Mesa on 3000 Bristol Street. One in Pasadena on 264 South Lake. One in West L.A. on 11911 Wilshire. One in Long Beach, 6449 East Pacific Coast Highway. And one in Rancho Cucamonga, 11561 Foothill Boulevard. They'll be there till 9 o'clock. We're looking for the biggest tattoo of any of the K-Rock bands that are playing the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas.
Dave was going to get the Paramore fingerless gloves tattooed on his hands. But again, we had to point out, not eligible. Working for the radio station. But if you have that, for instance, then you want to get down to one of those locations and maybe win tickets in the pit. It's 6:40 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of the shows this weekend, and all the details are at krock.com about tickets on sale Thursday. It's got to be very busy for your personal assistant, Linus. I would imagine that Linus is so busy lining up all your plans for the weekend that we thought, hey, let's check in with your personal assistant and see how he's doing. Good morning, Linus.
Hi, Linus.
Hello. How are you doing, Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show and the other one and the woman?
I don't have a personal assistant.
Kevin, Kevin and Bean Show, I want to know why I had you on the phone. I'm making up your Christmas list. I'm buying all your Christmas gifts as I do every year because you don't buy anything for yourself. But do you have anything in mind for the other one and for the woman? I'm making a list for what we're buying people for Christmas.
I was thinking of just cutting out a couple people this year.
Well, that's just not going to fly because I've got a huge list. Every year,
it's
so busy for me because I have to go out for Kevin at the Kevin and Bean Show and fly all the presents that he buys for everyone because Kevin, first of all, forgets that he has friends and forgets that he has children and a wife. Have to go out of my way and I do all the shopping for him. And it's just every year it gets harder and harder because how do you top some of the gifts he's given in the past, you know? So it's been very difficult, and I'm just racking my brain trying to get something for the other one and then for the woman.
I'd say, you know, maybe like a $5 Barnes & Noble gift certificate.
$5?
Yeah.
Come on, you Kevin. Like, of the Kevin and Bean Show.
You can get
better than that.
Okay, that's fine, Kevin and the Kevin and Bean Show. But just they're going to be disappointed when you find the rest of your friends, you're wrapping their presents with 20s. You got Ray Romano, a brick of gold, and you wrapped it with 20s.
Wow, that is extravagant. That is quite a gift.
Friend. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'll take out to get the Dustbuster. I dropped another name. It's very cluttered around here, around the Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show house, because the names get dropped everywhere, and they just got to pick them up with a dustbuster.
How dare you?
Certainly. Hey, Linus, aren't you one of those personal assistants, and you hear about them in Hollywood from time to time, who the star, and in this case it's Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, would just collapse. He'd just be curled up on the kitchen floor in a fetal position if you weren't there to do everything for him, right?
That's true, the other one. In fact, that's what he does anyway. Even when I do everything, he still collapses in a fetal position.
How dare
you? We have to get some of the staff to pick him up and carry him into one of the many bedrooms here at the mansion. That's the biggest part, really, of this year. Is like, where are we going to spend the holiday? You've got so many properties to choose from. Do we go to the Malibu house?
Do
we go to the mansion in Encino?
Don't.
Do we go to the Swiss chalet, the ski chalet in the Alps?
Don't.
Do we go
don't.
To the kayak hut on the Amazon?
I don't have those places.
Do we go to the desert home in Cairo? I mean, there's just so many choices of where to spend the Christmas holidays we have to get all the properties cleaned up and ready to go because Kevin, on a whim, just says, okay, let's go to Cairo. And then we don't have to pack up our bags and we're just off to Cairo.
Just have the one house.
And he's got all the offers from all these people to do all these amazing things. I mean, do we go hot air ballooning with Siegfried and Roy? do we the fox hunt with Charles and Camilla? I mean, there's just so many choices every year. And just to organize everything in terms of the schedule, it's just, I'm surprised he has time to go in there and work with you two, the other one and the woman.
He barely does. We're lucky to get him to show up in the morning. Now, what about this weekend? What about K-Rock Almost Acoustic to Christmas this weekend? I would imagine he's very busy. A lot of requests for tickets, I imagine. He's got to make a big night of it. What are you doing for him then?
A lot of people do ask for tickets for Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show because he is Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of people say to him, Kevin, you're Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. Can you get me tickets for this big event that you do every year, the Almost Acoustic Christmas that you do? And so Kevin is, first of all, Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. Second of all, he is a smart, smart person. So what he does is he prints his own tickets. He's got a printer at home and he just cranks them out.
And he hands them out
willy nilly to people. And when they get there, they find someone in their seat and they go, wait a minute, Kevin, come to the beach, give me these tickets. And they say, no, I'm sorry, these are not real tickets. They're horribly disappointed. But by that point, Kevin is already so drunk he doesn't care.
I see. Okay.
That's terrible, Kevin.
Why would you people make up all this crap about me?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what about this question that the K-Rock listeners have been furiously emailing as the date draws closer for the weekend? How is Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show going to get to the shows this weekend, Linus?
Transcendental meditation. He's just going to concentrate really hard until he just disappears from one location and reappears in another.
That's right, like Hero.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Only
that's pretty sweet.
Not so smart.
Only not as smart.
No. And not as successful. Because last time we fed him doing this in the bathroom, he was just scrunching his face up really tight, just saying, I wish I was at 7-Eleven. I wish I was at 7-Eleven. And he never got there.
Yeah.
So I had to go get him a Slurpee.
Guy can't have any peace in the bathroom, by the way.
Well, I hope he's taken care of you personally this holiday season with all the work you've done for him over the last 12 months.
Well, I've got the checkbook, so I'm making sure I get a nice bonus this year.
Okay.
I will be summering someplace later this year when I get my 2 days off. He gives me 2 days off a year.
Come on.
When I get my two days off, I will be summering somewhere deep in the exotic Palm Springs area.
All right. Very nice. Linus, great to hear from you. If we don't talk to you again before Christmas, have a very merry one, all right?
You won't be talking to me because I am just busy, right. Sweeping up names here in the house.
All right. We got it.
That's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Right now, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. It's 6:54, Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Some people won't be lucky enough to fly to England to see Led Zeppelin perform.
Right.
Okay.
But there's good news. If you live here in the U.S., it looks like they will be performing here in the States.
Tour?
Well, there has been rumors of a Zepp tour. However, Billboard.com says they will certainly perform in next summer's big Bonnaroo Festival.
Oh, that's a good one.
In Manchester, Tennessee, June of 2008.
You know that one, Bean?
Sure. They have it every year. Yeah, it's one of those. It's like a Lollapalooza or a Coachella, one of those. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Metallica will reportedly be the headliners, but they're saying Led Zeppelin will show up. The original members of Zepp will be playing at the Bonnaroo Festival. So you don't.
Zeppelin's going to open up, Ralph? They're going to open up for Metallica?
No, Metallica's going to be the headliners. Metallica's going to be the headliners, yeah.
Zepp's on at like 4 in the afternoon. People are still showing up.
That'd be great. They did it under the radar. People in the parking lot. What's that? Is that Wolf Mother? Like, who is that?
It sounds like Wolf Mother. They're ripping off Wolf Mother. Those old guys are ripping them off.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing some of the bands that get offered the big, big dollars and they leave it on the table. I mean, I don't know if Zeppelin's going to end up doing the full-scale reunion, but I mean, think how much money they could make if they did.
If the Bonnaroo show happens, it'll be Zeppelin's first concert in the U.S. since July 24th, 1977.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Been a long, long time.
Since I rock and rolled.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Amy Winehouse was seen on the streets in London yesterday. About 5:45 in the morning.
Oh.
Dressed in jeans and a bra. Wandering the streets looking disoriented, in the words of onlookers.
Oh, no. I think she was barefoot.
It sounded very sexy for some reason. Lisa?
My oh no?
Yeah.
Apparently, she's ignoring pleas from her family to seek help for her addiction to drugs. Instead, she said she's been resting at a friend's house in East London. And by resting, she means getting juiced out of her head and wandering in the streets at 4:45 in the morning in her bra and jeans and barefoot.
Wow.
Giddy up. Her friends are also reporting she's upset because her teeth have literally been falling out of her head.
Oh, my God.
Why? Why would she be upset? Well, apparently, it's a combination of drug abuse and malnutrition.
Yeah.
And one source told the London Daily Mail she has one missing from the front of her mouth, another one in the back, which is less visible. Her mouth is full of holes.
Ugh.
Oh.
She actually pulled a tooth out herself in front of me, which is absolutely disgusting, says the friend. And she, drama queen. She picks at her teeth all the time.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
No.
She's sexy. I want to do it with her. I want to give her a big French kiss and then come out with just a mouthful of teeth when I'm done.
Oh, God,
Ralph. That'd be hot.
Are there enough condoms in the world for you to be able to do it with her?
No, sir.
I don't think so. No, I think whatever she's got would get right through it.
No, sir. Who had Scott Weiland in the DUI pool?
Oh,
anyone?
No.
Anyone?
That makes me sad.
Anyone?
No, we didn't.
No.
Have
Scott
How do you
Weiland.
Not pick Scott Weiland, well, by the way, going
hoped.
Back in the DUI pool?
We hoped.
Looking back, seriously, no one picked a Scott Weiland.
I know, our bad.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Apparently, he was busted on November the 21st after he got in a little fender bender on a freeway here in Los Angeles. Cops showed up and. What's that? Hey, you look goofy.
Did they say the word goofy?
Yeah. So he got popped for driving under the influence. No word yet on what drug and or substance it was, but Weiland's bail was set at $40,000.
He posted and was sent home on Thanksgiving Day. He's due in court on December the 13th.
Most celebrities are really just fodder, just something to make fun of. But a guy like him, I really root for him. You know, I feel bad when I hear a story like this about Scott Weiland.
Yeah,
I like him very
talented.
Much.
He's very talented.
And a nice, a really, really genuinely nice dude. I really like him
and
a lot.
And seems close to have cleaned up his act many, many times. Yeah. And yet keeps slipping back into the bad behavior, which is sad. Ashley Tisdale.
She can go, as far as I'm concerned.
She can go?
Yeah.
She had a rhinoplasty procedure last Friday.
What?
What's rhinoplasty?
Nose job.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Who needs it?
Yeah, no one needed it more than her.
Ashley told People, though, she had a deviated septum.
Sure.
And she had trouble breathing.
Sure.
Always
I did
that.
This to help my health.
Sure.
I literally almost could not breathe out of the right side of my nose.
You're a lying sack of shit.
She wanted her younger fans to know why she had the procedure done.
Right.
It wasn't for cosmetic reasons at all.
Nose. No. So does her nose look exactly the same?
It was so that she could breathe, everyone. Just back off.
And while they were in there, they took off like 8 pounds of it.
Well, sure. While you're in there, you clean it up a little bit. Britney Spears is actually making some good decisions.
I don't believe it.
New York Post says that she was offered the cover of Rolling Stone magazine to pimp out her new album, Blackout, but canceled the offer after discovering that the company that publishes Rolling Stone also publishes Us Weekly magazine and was reserving the right to shove the story onto Us instead of Rolling Stone if they so pleased.
Yeah, she can make the cover of Us Weekly without posing for pictures. She didn't have to try over there.
Yeah, so she said no deal, which may have been the smartest thing she's done in years.
Hmm.
Apparently this all stems back to a case in 2006 where Nick Lachey posed for the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, and then those photos ended up on the cover of Us Weekly instead, and he was pretty cheesed off.
I would imagine.
But he's still Nick Lachey. Come on. How upset can you be?
Sure.
You think you're going to be in Rolling Stone? What are you, you're Nick Lachey? Zach Braff is single again.
Who?
Jax Fraff.
Okay.
Star Magazine reports that the Scrubs actor has broken off his relationship with Shiri Appleby.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they seem like a cool couple.
Yeah. She, of course, was in that Roswell TV show because it was getting too serious for him and he wasn't ready to commit.
Well, he hasn't gone through all the Hollywood starlets yet.
That's true.
Yeah.
Still got some girls to go to.
Allegedly, he said,
whore.
Speaking of Roswell, Shiri Appleby's co-star Katherine Heigl on that TV show is now, of course, on Grey's Anatomy. She only has one hit movie under her belt, but she's already an ungrateful bitch.
Oh, good.
How dare you?
Katherine tells an interviewer in the January issue of Vanity Fair magazine that she didn't care for the movie Knocked Up.
Didn't care
really?
For it?
Nope. She thought the movie was sexist.
What?
Because men were in the were shown in the film as goofy and fun, while the women in the movie were cast as humorless and uptight.
Well, real
not proving that's true.
Real
which
life.
Made it hard for her to love the movie. So she didn't care for it that much.
Reality.
Yeah. That sounds a little uptight to me. And humorless,
sure
as a matter of fact. But nonetheless, insider's note, she did cash the $300,000 paycheck. So
sure.
She didn't hate it that much. But don't do that to the one-hit movie you've had. And a lot of people loved it, and it was a very successful film.
And people liked it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And people liked it.
And people liked it.
Right.
More importantly, people liked it.
That's correct.
Mario Lopez is done with his girlfriend, Karina Smirnoff, that he met while dancing with the stars. Star Magazine says he was seen at the Victoria's Secret fashion show backstage, flirting with several of the models, and his girlfriend, Karina, was nowhere to be found.
Mm.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Mario seems like such a one-woman guy. But what do I know? Speaking of Victoria's Secret, the fashion show's on TV tonight. You can check that out if you're so inclined. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in its annual airing also on tonight.
Let me guess which one Bean's going to watch.
Dude, Rudolph rocks.
Yeah, that's what
they
I
both
thought.
Rock. I'm going to watch them both.
Rudolph really is. I mean, Grinch is right up there, too. But Rudolph just makes my season. That's when my holiday starts, when Rudolph.
Victoria's Secret makes my season.
I know. But you can
my
see that in a magazine.
Is Charlie Brown Christmas. And
F Charlie Brown.
That's the one, though. That's
Charlie
the best
Brown.
Of all the specials.
F
that and the Grinch are the one,
piece
too.
Of crap.
Oh, how dare you.
But Rudolph. She likes me. When he's flying.
Gay.
You can't play in any more of our reindeer games.
I'm Santa Claus.
I want to be a dentist.
So you're going
to
act the whole thing out, Ralph?
Hermie!
You're going to watch that instead of Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right.
It's just a vagina.
Just the Clarice, that little reindeer.
Yeah.
Oh, she's hot.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I like to do her reindeer style. You know what that is?
We got McLovin standing by, Ralph.
It's like dog style when you fly through the air while you do it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Remember this dude?
Sure, by the booze. Yeah, man, we're going to get our drinks on, and we're going to party and get crunk and rock out.
Remember that dude?
Do I remember McLovin? Are you kidding me? I've got a petition in front of Congress to get his face on the U.S. money. He's my personal hero. And the very fine actor behind McLovin in the Superbad movie, which is available on DVD starting today.
So that happened.
Whoops, wrong button there. Christopher Mintz-Plasse joins us on the phone right now. We know him and love him as McLovin. Hey, Chris, good morning. Welcome.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
You bet. You know, my friend Kevin here will tell you that Superbad is one of his 10 favorite movies of all time.
Oh, nice. Thanks, Kevin.
It is. Now, I was reading your bio. It's really bizarre. You graduated high school this year.
Yes.
You tried out for the movie. You didn't have a headshot, so you used your cell phone.
I used my cell phone, yes.
And during the sex scene, your mom had to be on the scene, on the set because you were only 17.
Exactly. You know all about
that. Wow.
That's creepy, dude.
Your mom had to be there. That's weird.
Yeah, she's probably listening to this right now, too.
Oh, sorry about that.
Hey, Mom.
Did you make her look away, at least?
Yeah, did you make her cover her eyes?
No, she was enjoying it.
Oh! Oh, that's you guys need to go on Dr. Phil to get that sorted out. That's weird.
Man,
so, wait. So you're in the class of 2007?
Yes.
Oh, what school did you go to?
El Camino Real High School.
And that's the home of the what?
Home of the conquistadors.
The fighting conquistadors. Wow. and so you were a junior when you shot this movie?
No, I was a senior.
You were a senior when you shot it? Okay, because I know sometimes they film them way in advance. What was your high school life like before the film came out? Were you popular or were you kind of geeky?
I was kind of in the middle. I mean, I was like a drama kid, you know, just doing plays and making the kids laugh. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, maybe a little bit popular.
So you had a sense of humor.
Yeah, I had a sense of humor. The kids knew me because they saw me in the school plays and stuff.
And then once you started shooting the movie, did you show up every day and go, oh, didn't get my homework done. I was on the set yesterday of a big movie.
Of course you did.
No, I didn't even go to school for the first 3 months while I was filming the movie.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
I had to get it on set.
Oh, I got you. And did you go back to school then? So when the movie opened, were you back in high school?
No, I graduated when the movie opened.
You'd already graduated. Oh, so you missed out on the opportunity just to plow through those senior class of girls, dude.
You're telling me, man. I wanted to go back to high school this year just for that reason.
Of course you did. Fantastic. Now, this is extremely unusual. And by the way, it points to the genius that is Judd Apatow and the brains behind the series of movies that he's got going on. But it's to roll the dice on a guy like you who had never even, as far as I understand, appeared in any TV show or movie to figure out that you're the guy to carry this huge role. I mean, that showed some real balls, I thought.
I agree with you. I did not agree with the choice to trust me.
Here's a scene from the movie where the cops, played by Seth Rogen and Bill Hader, break into the bedroom when you're just having sex.
All right, everybody out. Come on, let's go. McLovin! What the f***?
Officer Slater, is that you?
You ran away from us. Why'd you run away from us? Michaels, get up here. Why would you do that?
Oh, disoriented from the crash.
Were you just violating that girl?
No.
That young girl? You just violated her with your penis, Michaels.
McLovin?
No.
Holy shit. Are you just getting laid?
No. Yeah, I was.
Did you find it difficult to make the movie? Was it hard for you being your first time?
The only hard thing was not keeping a straight face, when acting with Bill and Seth.
Yeah, I imagine. But did you ever get over that, what the hell just happened to me? I was in high school yesterday, and now I'm on a movie set?
Yeah, I had to get over that mentality. Otherwise, I would have been freaking out and messing up the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Chris, was your plan to be an actor? I mean, was that what your goal was going to be after you graduated, was to try to go on auditions and get roles?
Yeah, well, I've been acting since my elementary school, so I've always loved it, but I just never thought it would happen as quickly as it did.
Yeah, no one ever would think that, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Well, now you're going to be getting whatever roles Clooney turns down, Pitt turns down, they're going to come right to McLovin, I imagine.
Oh, exactly.
Now, were you trying out for any other projects during that time in high school?
Nope. No, that was my first audition.
Oh, people hate you right now.
Don't say that.
People that have been working, you know, working for years and years. Yes.
And how did you hear about this audition, and what made you think this is the one I got to try out for?
I guess they were looking for the part for like 3 months, so they sent emails out to a bunch of drama departments, and one of my two good friends heard about it, and they thought I would fit the part because I was a nerdy-looking senior who looks like he's 15.
Oh, I see.
So I just went down with them and auditioned, and so, they liked me.
So the part was kind of finished and written already, and they were looking for you to fill it in, but they didn't build it around you.
No, they're just looking for the part. That fit it perfectly, I guess.
Yes, this is Christopher Mintz-Plasse we're talking to. He is, of course, McLovin from the Superbad movie, which was a huge hit in theaters and is out available on DVD in all formats today, by the way, including the Blu-ray and the whole deal. There's a rated and an unrated. Chris, tell me what's on the unrated and why that's the one I should own.
Because the regular one has the movie and, like, three special features, and if you get the unrated, you get the movie and probably, like, 10 special features, and they're all hilarious, so I seriously say, check it out.
Okay, some kind of a sexy music video with you in it? Something like that?
Oh, that would have been a great idea.
Because look, if I'm in the Best Buy and it says unrated, it better be because there's a lot of nudity on the thing. That's all I'm saying.
There's not yours. There's no nudity in the movie. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, there needs to be on the DVD. That's
my
point.
You need to add some, I think, is what Dean wants.
Exactly. So what's next for you?
I just finished the movie with Paul Rudd a couple weeks ago.
Who we also
fantastic.
Love.
Fantastic.
And I'm doing an animated voice actually in a couple days.
No kidding.
How about that? Are you you going to go to college?
Right now it's looking like a no.
you think? You know what?
I really don't like schoolwork.
Just starting to take off in the movie business, and I hate school. I wonder what I'm going to do next.
Exactly.
Yeah. What an unbelievable story, especially as Kevin mentioned, in this town where you've got so many people who are just doing everything their whole lives to try to make it. And granted, you put in the time with the plays and everything from elementary school. You had the training for it. But just the series of events that landed you in such a high-profile role – and you're known around the world as McLovin. I mean, everybody knows who you are, dude.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I know everyone knows who I am.
What do people say the most when they see you on the street?
What's up, McLovin?
That's it. They have to call you McLovin. Let me see.
In different versions of their voice. Either it's, what's up, McLovin?
Sure, yeah. And do they ask to see your license, any of that crap?
Did I get it?
No, do they ask to see your license or any of that stuff?
Yes, all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Hey, that's a great question. Did you get it? Did you get to keep the prop?
Nope, the prop people kept it.
Oh, that's BS.
That's got to end up on eBay. That's a hot movie item right there, man.
I know, right? I wanted to try to use it and see if it works.
Of course. <It's>
great. Well, this is one of those DVDs that, let's face it, why Netflix it? You got to own it, right? Well, you're with me, right, Kevin? You got to own Superman. You got to have it.
Absolutely.
There's always going to come a time where that's going to sound like the right choice to pull off the DVD shelves, and it's available everywhere today, December 4th, Superbad. Chris, awesome to catch up with you, man. I hope we talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks very much. We appreciate it. You guys know what today is, right?
Tell me.
What?
Tat Tuesday!
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Tat Tuesday.
So if you're sitting there this morning and you're going, I got a tattoo of Spoon on my forehead. I wish there was some way that would get me into the shows this weekend. Have we got great news for you. We're talking about pit tickets for both nights at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 shows Saturday and Sunday at the Gibson Amphitheater. So you don't have to worry about when they go on sale Thursday because we're looking for you and your tattoo this morning.
That's right. We have vans, K-Rock vans in five different locations all around Southern California. The list is at krock.com on the Kevin and Bean page. And it's at Wahoo's at all five locations. One in Costa Mesa, one in Pasadena, one in West LA, one in Long Beach, and one in Rancho Cucamonga. And we're looking for the largest tattoo of any one of the bands that are playing either of the nights.
Interesting.
So you have a tattoo of Rise Against, you have a tattoo of Bad Religion, Angels and Airwaves, Linkin Park, Muse, Jimmy Eat World, any of the bands. If you have a tattoo, the bigger the better, and we're going to pick the biggest one by 9 o'clock this morning. We've got another about hour and a half, and by 9 o'clock we're going to pick the biggest one and give you pit tickets to both nights.
Wow.
You can go to KROQ.com for those exact addresses, or if you're in the car and are not able to get online, you can call 1-800-520-1067 and talk to Dave. He will give you the directions and the addresses on where you need to go.
It's
Tat Tuesday!
It certainly is. We're going to talk about this new Orange County toilet-to-tap program here in a moment, which is not a joke. It is real. You are officially, if you're listening to us in Orange County right now, you are drinking pee. I mean, that's essentially what we're dealing with here. But do we have time for some awesome audio that a listener tipped us off to on the YouTube yesterday of American American Idol contestant Kelly Pickler. You remember her? Do you remember which one she was?
I only remember. I don't watch the show. I only remember that she was kind of hot, right?
And she sang country.
And country music, but real dumb. She's the one who got famous for having never eaten sushi before, and they started doing a bunch of stuff with her on The Tonight Show because she was just, I mean, she's this, you know, small-town girl from Texas or someplace who'd never done anything, never been anybody.
And remember, we debated because we didn't know if it was an act or not, she if she was really just pretending, because who could be that naive about everything?
Right.
She did get a great boob job last year, though. I got to give her credit for that. She looks good. But for some reason, and I guess it was to raise money for her charity, she went on Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, which is that hit Fox show on, you know, with Jeff Foxworthy as a host. Now, if you're as dumb as that person, why do you go on a show like that that's just going to continue to point it out? Unless that's your bread and butter. That's what people know you from. You can't be hurt because people already know you're dumb.
But, maybe dumb people don't know they're dumb. Is that possible?
I don't know.
I don't have any experience, you know,
because you're so smart. I mean,
she's as dumb as sand, Lisa. She knows it. Let's face it. So anyway, Kelly Pickler, American Idol contestant. She's on. Are you ready for a fifth grader? Let's see what her question is.
The third grade world geography question is, Budapest is the capital of what European country?
This might be a stupid question.
Huh? I'm guessing it's probably going to be.
I thought Europe was a country.
All right.
Oh, my God.
So
right there, we're hurt, right? Right there, we're wounded. Let's see what she comes up with next.
I know they speak French there. Don't they?
What?
Like, I want to say, is France a country? I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, that is true, Kelly.
I like the audience that at least is not holding back all the laughter.
Now, here's what I don't understand. If the question is, what country is Budapest the capital of, why would she think, well, I know they speak French there.
I don't know. I think she's just thinking of Europe as a whole.
Maybe that's what it is. So she's continuing to ponder before she gives her answer. Here's Kelly Pickler thinking.
Focus.
I am. Like, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I only hear what I want to.
That's just called being a woman.
Jeff gets in his hilarious zinger, but she comes right back at him.
Well, we could just call the show, Are You Smarter Than a Man?
No, because women don't really want to hear a man's opinion. They just want to hear their opinion in a deeper voice. That's what they want when they talk to us.
Kelly, don't try to go one-on-one against Jeff Foxworthy, okay? He may not be the funniest guy in the world, but he is smart and is a professional comedian, and you will lose that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Could have called Are You Smarter Than a Man. I'd win that one.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't think you would.
Nope.
Sadly.
All right, so time's almost running out. What's the what country is Budapest the capital of? Kelly's, you know, she's up against the clock now. She has to give an answer.
If you had to guess, do you have a guess?
I don't think France is a country, but I would have said that. I don't know. I'm just going to say France. I don't know.
Okay. France is a country. I will tell you
it
that.
Is.
If you had said France, you would have gone home with nothing. That is not the right answer. The right answer is Hungary.
Is what?
Hungary.
Hungary?
Like I'm hungry.
That's a country? I've heard of Turkey, but Hungary, never heard of it.
Wow.
She's barely heard of France.
She's good.
How?
Apparently, Mr. Foxworthy thinks that the country is called Hungary, by the way, and not Hungary.
I wonder if he's doing that to draw out more dumb. Because it's probably made pretty clear to him, you know, what the answer is. He knows it's Hungary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to be saying Hungary just to try to get her, you know, thrown off some more.
Right.
And he's doing a good job.
How can anybody not know that France is a country?
Yeah. Mm. I can understand if you're her age, whatever she is, 20 or whatever, maybe you've never heard of Hungary.
Sure.
Okay, maybe you've heard of France, right? I mean,
I would think.
You've heard of France. She's touring, right?
After her original onslaught of dumb, didn't we did people investigate her childhood and it was like pretty sad, like her dad was like in and out of jail, and she didn't have a mom, and she grew up in like a backwoods town with like 12 people.
Raised by wild dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's just been cut off like totally from from society.
They don't have maps there, such as the
she's
Iraq.
So good.
but why go on that show if that's the case? Yeah. Don't you do everything you can? Unless, like I said, unless she knows it can't hurt her because that's her reputation already, is she's a dumbass, so it's not going to embarrass her further.
People who are dumbasses know and like try to start playing it up.
I don't think so.
Maybe not. But anyway, you can find it on YouTube. She's hot but dumb, which is just how I like my women. Friday morning, we were broadcasting live from Fullerton for the Miss Double December pageant and coronation, by the way. And I urge you strongly to go to krock.com, go to the Kevin and Bean section, and see all the video. Lightning did a masterful job of putting it up. There's the bikinis up there. There's the interviews up there, the crowning itself. It really is a great, great video. And we couldn't help but notice when we were there Friday that in the Orange County Register that morning, they said, today is the day that the toilet to tap program begins. And we said, I don't like the sound of that. I don't know what toilet to tap is, but we need to find out more. So we asked Lightning to line somebody up, and here's Kevin to introduce our next guest.
Savaji Deshmukh. Did I say that right?
You did.
Savaji Deshmukh.
Wow.
Is the OC Program Manager Groundwater Replenishment System. And apparently this started on Friday. Is that correct?
We're actually running the plant right now.
Okay.
Oh, wow. And if I understand, and I'm no expert, you're the dude here, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but the water goes directly from your toilet right into a drinking glass that somebody else drinks, right?
Not exactly. We're actually taking water that's normally wasted at the ocean, and then we're purifying it through an advanced treatment facility. After that, the water goes in the ground, where it'll stay for months, if not years, before pumped out by the cities who are in our service area.
All right. Now, do you know how long it stays there? You said months, maybe not years, maybe days?
No, it's actually at least months, at least 6 months in some areas and at least 2 years in others.
So you test it after 6 months and see if it's drinkable. Yeah. And so that means that none of this water is actually going to be consumed by anybody for at least 6 months?
Correct. And actually, this is the highest quality water we have in the area. When we treat it, it's actually near distilled quality.
It's better than the regular tap water.
Yes. It actually uses the same treatment technologies that bottled water companies use. It's pure, safer, better than any other source we have in the area.
Right. We understand.
So you have crappy sources in the area.
We understand the technology, but the normal bottled water doesn't come from my ass. I mean, isn't that the problem? Is that people I imagine people are just...
We don't really know where bottled water comes from, by the way, Kevin.
No, I know.
It could come from your ass.
But we do know where this comes from. That's what I'm saying.
True. They're honest about it, Somebody, anyway.
Is this an uphill fight? Do you find people like us are just grossed out by the very idea? And you could purify it till, 100 years from now and still, I know where it came from.
Yeah, people are very supportive. When you hear that you're going to be drinking treated wastewater, of course it's a shock. But if you hear about where our water supply comes from, the natural water cycle, and then you see the actual treatment and how we're making this near distilled quality, we actually have a lot of support within the community. We have environmental, medical, scientific support. We have community groups throughout Orange County who are very excited about this project and looking forward to it being
Come
online.
On.
Well, listen, we don't want to run out of water like Atlanta or whatever. We've got to do something.
No, I understand that, but what about people? What about normal people? Do you have their support? Because I know that in San Diego, correct me if I'm wrong, but in San Diego, didn't they try to do this like twice and they shot it down?
They did, and that's why for us public education is real important. I mean, communities have been doing this throughout our country as well as the world, where one community uses river water. When they're done with it, they put it back in the river, and then another community downstream takes it. So what we're doing is we're making sure that the water quality is near distilled. We're making sure it's as high as it can be. And people are really supportive after hearing about that.
So when you talk about all the steps that it goes through to get from the toilet to the tap, and you talk about how it's almost distilled water quality, it sounds to me, Savaji, that if you had a choice, you would rather drink this water than drink the standard water that comes out of a tap like we have known for many, many years.
Yeah, this quality that comes out of here is actually better than what you can get anywhere else.
I doubt that.
but he's got the science.
I know. I don't have any information on my side. I just know, for me personally, my rule is if something escapes, the sphincter, it's out of bounds forever. That's off. I'm not touching that ever again.
And that toilet to tap is actually a misnomer. The water, even though we get it out of here and it exceeds all drinking water standards, it actually goes back in the ground. So it's not being delivered straight to people's houses.
Okay.
Couldn't we try this in the 909 first?
That's a good idea. See if they survive it in Riverside. Yeah, I like
Use
that.
Use them as a test market.
No.
I guess this is what we're running into, Shivaji, and you're the man who speaks on this subject. You run into it all the time, is your mind tells you it's fine, but the rest of your body just wants to run as fast as possible away from it, I guess.
That's why seeing is believing. You know, we invite you guys to come down, take a look at the treatment, and we can make believers out of you.
Yeah, we can't make it. I mean, we got that thing.
We have we're going very, very booked.
Right.
No, we'd love to see it. Love to drink that water all day long, but we're just way tied up.
What all my right. body tells me is bad for me, you're telling me is okay again.
Yes, definitely.
Wow.
Okay.
You've got a tough job, my friend.
You do. By the way, you should get on the President Bush reelection campaign. I that's really where you need to be. That'd be easier, I think.
I would not go that far.
A little easier of a battle, though.
All right. OC Program Manager of the Groundwater Replenishment System, Shivaji Deshmukh. Thank you for coming on and explaining it to us. And I guess we'll see when people start drinking it next summer. We'll see how it's going over then. But thanks a lot for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Okay.
By the way, Omar sent us a PSA. That he found online for this program. You want to hear it?
Sure.
It's a PSA. Yeah.
We here at the Orange County Water District understand that some people might be uncomfortable with our new toilet-to-tap water reclamation plan. As we prepare to put this plan into motion, we'd like to set your mind at ease about several different points. Good. First of all, yes, the water does come from treated sewage, but that water is sent through a microfiltration system that renders it completely safe for human consumption. Okay. So relax. Seriously. Relax. What, you're too good to drink toilet water? Hey, let's face it. Most of you rich f***ers drink your water out of bottles anyway. So what are you concerned about? Just take a f***ing shower and shut up. And let's face it. You live in Southern California. The odds are a lot better of you getting killed by an earthquake, a drive-by shooting, or the crap that's pumped into the air that you're constantly breathing.
That's true.
So stop being so f***ing high and mighty. Drink the water and shut up. This has been a message of the Orange County Water District.
The Ralph Holiday Video Vault after the news at 8, and Craig Ferguson is going to be joining us. Fergie will be here, Ralph. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? I thought you'd be excited. You love
like him.
No.
What?
My wife is in love with him.
Ah.
Oh, I see. Because of the accent?
We're watching the freaking reruns now, every night.
Oh, I love him. Look, he's so funny. He's so handsome. Oh, I love him. He's so witty. I'd like to hang out with him. Oh, I'd like to spend time with him. He's so great.
We could go on a date if she wants.
Craig Ferguson's going to be on your show tomorrow. Can you give him a big kiss for me?
No, I can't.
Why can't you be more like him, Ralph?
Craig Ferguson. That's all I hear in my house.
Well, you're going to be hearing a lot of it the next hour because he's coming in on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Not even an American, for God's sake.
That's true.
He's close, though. I think he's taking his citizenship test here any day now.
Yeah, I didn't need to take a test. They just gave me one, all right? That's how good I am.
Well, you were born in this country. He wasn't, Ralph.
What's your point?
It's not his fault.
I'm better. That's my point.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell that to your wife.
Tell my wife. I know. Start talking like this around the house. What's for dinner? All right, Siegfried and Roy, Kevin's friends.
Oh! What are you talking about?
You're going hot air ballooning with them this
holiday season.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Have announced that it's possible they may be going back to work.
Really?
After a tiger accident stopped their career back in 2003.
That's one way to say it.
Yeah.
Can that person continue? Which one was it?
Roy Horn.
Roy?
Apparently he can. He hinted to the Las Vegas Review-Journal newspaper that their show could return to the Strip next year.
Does he sound like Dick Clark?
Oh.
That's not nice.
I'm just asking.
I mean, he's like a stroke, right? I mean, he's in a wheelchair and he can barely talk. I mean, how's he going to do magic?
That's what I'm talking about. That's a show. Anybody can do magic with two hands and two arms, two legs.
No, they can't, first of all.
Full faculties. But do it out of a wheelchair? That's freaking amazing.
Okay.
Maybe like Copperfield backstage. You want to come back to Rape Island? Be awesome. Where's that story, by the way? FBI? What's going on with that whole Rape Island David Copperfield
fiasco?
Where
did Rape Island go?
I'd like to know more details, so please tell me more. I led off with a Siegfried and Roy story.
You did.
I wanted to realize.
That's correct.
That's what I'm up to these days. Alec Baldwin wants more kids. According to Star Magazine, Alec is still fighting over custody of his daughter, Ireland, with his ex-wife, Kim Basinger. But he's talking about having another kid with his girlfriend, Nicole Seidel.
That's good news.
I think so, too.
Good news.
Because here's the thing about Baldwin.
Isn't he like 50 or 55 or something like that, Ralph?
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how old you are. It matters what a loving, patient, kind man you are to your kids. That's the...
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
And that's the kind of atmosphere...
Sorry. I was a little early, wasn't I?
No.
Try it again.
That's the kind of atmosphere kids need to be brought up in. And then you would play the tape.
What?
Oh, now?
Oh, no. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Never mind.
Sorry. This is ridiculous. Ridiculous, dude.
Carson Daly was back on TV last night crossing the Writers Guild strike line. Apparently, Victoria's Secret supermodel Carolina Kurkova and the plain white tees were his guests.
Oh.
How can you blame him for crossing the writer's strike for that?
Just pick up a magazine. Just pick up a catalog,
let's say.
For whatever, for corn's sake.
I'm Carson Daly, and I'm a massive tool.
Meanwhile, good American talk show hosts and Craig Ferguson have opted not to cross the picket line. People who love our country, who aren't terrorists like Carson Daly. And, you know, stories have been leaking out here and there about celebrity hosts picking up the tab for some of their staffers' salaries that are being lost because they're out of work currently. Mm-hmm.
Letterman, Leno.
Great story I wanted to bring up just because he's a good dude and deserves a little fanfare, although he would not ask for it himself.
Fergie?
TMZ.com yesterday was mentioning that Jimmy Kimmel is currently paying the salary of all his staff.
No kidding.
Very quietly under the radar while they're all on hold until this thing is over and then get back to work, which I thought was pretty cool.
That seems like that could get expensive really, really quickly.
I agree. But, you know, Jimmy's stinking rich. Birthday party at the Palms Hotel basketball suite. F you. Pay some people some salaries. Whatever.
I know that there's a little bit of an embargo on information coming out of the talks between the Writers Guild and the others, but what's your sense? I mean, are you hearing a hint of anything, any kind of progress being made, any kind of offer on the table, anything?
After a four-day hiatus from talks, striking writers and the producers are going back to the bargaining table today. So maybe we'll hear something. But I know the writers are presenting them with a counter offer. Apparently the producers made their offer last week. Writers have absorbed that and digested it and are bringing back their counter offer today.
Okay.
So maybe we'll get some movement. Let's hope so. Because if not, we're going to have Craig Ferguson on our show every day. And my wife will be, oh, I love him. Oh, he's the best. I love him.
And we'll have
so
your wife
lucky.
Do entertainment.
You're so lucky. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's that time of the year, the holiday season, when a lot of celebrities try to cash in and make a few bucks with Christmas albums.
Sure.
Everybody's got a Christmas album. Freaking Barry Manilow's got a Christmas album.
Yeah.
He's got three of them.
Barbara Streisand.
He's got three of them.
Neil Diamond. I love it when the Jews crank out the Christmas albums, by the way.
Yeah, that's the best.
Hysterical.
That says commitment to faith right there.
Mine, I just picked this up, and I couldn't be more, I couldn't feel more sad for Chewbacca's Christmas album. I just think it's really, from Star Wars.
What are you talking
about?
He's
got his just dropped today. What's today, Tuesday?
Yeah,
today, his new Christmas CD.
Chewbacca.
And I think it's sad that he, now that the series is over, he's reduced to trying to hawk a cheap-ass novelty Christmas album. But I thought you might want to hear a little taste.
Sure.
Yeah.
That is sad.
Sad is the happiest time ever.
Singer for a Wookiee, but still, I just think it's sad.
Trying to. Times are hard.
Yeah. Thank you. Today's celebrity birthdays: Chelsea Noble. She was on Growing Pains opposite Kirk Cameron, who's crazy, by the way. By the way, a lot of people are directing me to YouTube. There's apparently a whole bunch of clips of Kirk Cameron talking about how the banana proves there's a God.
Oh, excellent!
It's very entertaining. You check that out for yourself. She's 43 years old today. Actor Jeff Bridges, one of my favorites, is 58. Marissa Tomei, Oscar winner. And a chick who gets nude quite a bit, apparently, in this new movie, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Sure.
Quite naked in it. She's 43.
She looks fantastic, too. Looks better now than she has at any other age.
I love her in those Hanes commercials. Have you seen her in the Hanes female underwear commercials?
No, I don't think so.
She did? Oof, yeah. And Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
So many women think that you pee and have a baby from the same hole. So many people think that. They really do.
Come on, Tyra.
Shut up.
F you.
She's 34 years old today.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big
the showbiz beat.
Who's your friend that's joined us, Kevin?
Hold up.
Hit it, Fergie.
Fergie. Craig Ferguson, good morning.
Good morning. It's very nice to be here this morning. Is it Tattoo Day?
It's Tattoo Day.
It is Tattoo Day, yes. Do you guys have any tattoos? I have one tattoo.
Do you? What is it?
It's my family crest. It's on my arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, shoulder, you can't right see shoulder. I'm wearing clothes. Yeah.
You are fabulous.
Yeah.
I'll trust you. Then I am too. I have a family crest as well.
Do you really?
No.
If we're not showing him, I got one too. Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's my tattoos on the radio is one of the most interesting things.
Good.
It's like ventriloquism on the radio. People really enjoy it.
We
don't
do
they,
that
Bobby?
Too.
Yes, that's right. We really love it.
Craig Ferguson, many of you remember, if you remember him at all, he was formerly nice. The host of the Late Late Show with Craig
right,
Ferguson,
yeah.
Which used to be on, I want to say maybe late 90s, early part of this decade, I
no,
think that
no,
show was
it
on.
Was, it was run about the same time as Starsky and Hutch. It used to go Starsky and Hutch, and then Jake and the Fat Man, and then it was me.
And then She's the Sheriff was
She's
right after
the
you.
She's the Sheriff
recall,
with
right.
Suzanne Summers. That, we were just talking, Suzanne Summers starred in a sitcom called She's the Sheriff. It was one of the worst pieces of television ever made. And I know, and having made some of the worst television ever made,
you can recognize
I know it when I see it.
Right.
Because, you know, they had to get storylines where, you know, they would say, you know, what we need, Sheriff, is someone with good thighs to round up these cattle.
That's why God keeps burning her houses down,
no,
Craig, is because
stop,
she's the sheriff.
Nah, she's not the sheriff now.
No,
she's the cougar now, I guess. That's
yeah.
what it, yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Craig is here this morning because he's going to be appearing at the Grove of Anaheim doing some of that stand-up. He's got lots of time to do stand-up right now. And you can call the Grove box office or go to Ticketmaster to get tickets to see him on stage. Let's start with that, Craig, because you're one of the few guys, in the middle of this strike that we've been able to talk to about it. I mean, talk about affecting you and hundreds of people that you know and care for. What's going on
well,
your show?
You're working on the wrong assumption there. You're working on the assumption that I care for hundreds of people. I don't. What I do is, there's a couple of things that have struck me about the strike. One is, and I think the most surprising thing about the whole thing, is that Carson Daly has writers. They're right there. I'm like,
we were shocked. We were shocked as well.
No, you're kidding. For what? For what? Like, here comes the band? Well, I mean, you don't need a writer for that.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Anyway,
was there any doubt in your mind, Craig, that you are on the right side of the strike?
I want no side of the strike. I'm staying out of the way. This is one of the rare occasions for a Scotsman where I'm both a member of the WGA and I'm the man.
Yeah.
So I'm it's kind of really not my fight. I'd have to go pick it outside my own house.
Right.
So I'm kind of staying out of the way. I'm just letting them go. I mean, I really hope it's over soon. And I hope everybody gets what they want and, you know, and sweetness and light and bunny rabbits. But
People are asking for bunny rabbits?
Yeah, they want bunny rabbits. Well, residuals on bunny rabbits.
Right.
You're part of the bunny rabbit. We want a bunny's foot every time it's shown on the internet. But I don't know. I'm trying to stay away from it. I respect that there is a conflict going on, but really I got to stay out the way as much as possible.
Now, isn't your show owned by Dave? Doesn't Dave
in the
Worldwide Pants, they own your show, right?
In fact, it's what you natural-born Americans call, my ass is owned by Dave.
Yes.
You as well.
He owns me. I am, in fact, his little puppy. and that kind of helps me as well, because whatever decision Dave makes about the strike, then that, you know, I follow on and do that.
He says jump, you say how high. That's basically
no,
how
he
that
says
relationship
jump, I
works.
Just jump. I don't bother. I don't talk at Dave or look him in the eye or anything like that. He just says jump, and then a memo arrives in my desk from somebody says, Dave says jump, and I do a little jump. That's it.
What's he like as a boss? Do you have much interaction with him since his production company runs your
show? Yeah, he's I don't talk to him much, but sometimes I'm summoned to his fortress of solitude where he sits on his giant icy throne with his false hand.
And you show up scared that you're going to never be seen again?
He says, I suppose you expect me to talk, Letterman. He's like, no, Mr. Ferguson, I expect you to die. Because not a lot of people know that Dave lives in a hollowed out volcano.
He does?
Yeah.
I did not realize
that. Yeah,
I thought he just had a place in Connecticut.
No, it is in Connecticut. It's a hollowed out volcano in Connecticut.
Okay.
And he's building a rocket so that he can destroy the moon and hold the Earth to ransom
wow.
or something. Yeah.
Wow, this is scoop. Where's TMZ.com when you need him? Does he have any say at all over your show? Does he call you and go, seriously, what's going on with your monologue? I mean, is he that hands-on, or does he just pretty much let you do your own thing?
He kind of has a show to do himself every day.
Yeah, I mean, right. There's that.
So he doesn't really bother too much. Occasionally, he'll talk to me during a commercial break, but only if I'm in New York on his show.
Sure, of course, yeah.
Now, that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah. In the last couple of weeks, does he pick up the phone and go, sure, bored, sure could go back to work.
Yeah,
that sure would be good.
I love the idea that you think I'm cool enough to have long conversations with David Letterman, but it doesn't really happen like that. In the last couple of weeks as well, I've just been hiding. I've been flying in airplanes. I'm learning to fly and going away, and I haven't really been talking to him about it. There's nothing really to say to Dave or to any of the other guys. I mean, I've talked to the other guys before the strike. And by and large, I heard you mention before I come on that Jimmy Kimmel, who is one of the sweetest guys in this business, and you're right, Jimmy very quietly is taking care of his people as well, and you don't hear a lot of fanfare about that.
Right.
The guys who do this for a living, and there's only about half a dozen of us, you know, what are you going to do? It's a nasty fight. And I work with these writers every day when we're working, and I don't want them to suffer from hardship. I just don't.
Plus, you said when you came in off the air that they're not very good.
They're not very good.
Easily replaceable, I think, is the word you
used. That's right. Easily replaceable.
Yeah. Well, what I'm working on is digital writers. Basically, you download your own writers from the internet. You don't have to pay them. Yeah, no, it's nice. It's almost like you could have writers who are in other towns, and they could just be hooked up via the internet
like
some kind of, you know, crazy robot DJ.
That's a good
not
plan.
Not possible. How's that going? Sorry, you're talking the future now. All right, we have to take a break. Mr. Ferguson is here. Of course, we hope he's back on the TV soon. But until then, why not head down to the Grove of Anaheim December 7th. That's this Friday night at 8:30 for some hilarious stand-up. When we come back, I think we may have to get Ralph's wife on the phone. I think that may have to happen, first of all, because Craig may be coming in between those two. I think there could be a divorce on the horizon if it goes well. So we'll talk more with Craig after this on the World Famous K-Rock. Former late-night TV talk show host Craig Ferguson in the studio with us. Friday, December 7th at the Grove of Anaheim. Go to Ticketmaster.com. See Craig's hilarious stand-up. Ralph, why are you in here? Because of the enemy? Because of the competition? Is that why?
I just had an ass full of this guy, and here you guys
are.
You
did not. If you had had that, you'd remember. And you'd be buying me dinner.
You guys are on radio kissing his ass. Oh, he's so funny. I'm just fed up, and I thought someone should present the other side.
Wait a minute. It's not war.
You like Craig, too, though. What are you talking about the other side? You think he's very funny.
Well, you know, he comes here to our country taking the bread out of mouths of American talk shows.
Sure. That's right.
I mean, right now, Byron Allen someplace starving because he's
Byron
got a
Allen's
job.
Byron Allen's doing fine. He goes to where you are and interviews you at your convenience. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, Steve Allen, you know, Chevy Chase. What are these guys doing now?
And he got Kilby fired. Don't forget, he got Kilby
kicked out of the building. Right.
Magic Johnson's out of a job. Send and this guy's working.
Isn't this
a little more personal
for you,
Ralph?
We should build a fence between America and Scotland to stop all these Scottish people coming over and taking late
night.
You
can't go to Home Depot without Scott trying to lay stones for
you. Excuse me, can I put up some shelves for you? All that stuff.
Isn't it a little more personal than that, though, Ralph?
The other part is that my wife's deeply in love with Craig Ferguson.
All right, let's call her.
It's a bone of contention around our house.
Let's call her.
Oh, we are going to get her on the phone? That's good. Because apparently Ralph's been hearing a lot about it lately.
Ralph, I don't think she is. I think I'm a non-threatening figure. I think what it is she's using me because I'm in no way a threat to you. I mean, you sit here, buff, handsome, with your rippling abs.
Right.
I'm a non-threatening, pudgy, middle-aged guy from another country with no hope of advancement.
Who could have his wife if you wanted him, though? If you wanted her, excuse me. That's,
she's got
that's
it
the
bad
thing
for you, Ferguson. I don't know what. Trust me, I don't understand it any more than you do. But
I don't know. You've been looking at me with those come to the coffee room eyes.
Well, you know, it's that tousled hair. Yeah, you have a very rugged look this morning.
I'm a very rugged look every morning. This is how it happens. I wake up and boom, there it is. Hey, fashionably crumpled.
Carrie, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, there
she
is.
Honey.
Hi,
Mrs. Garman. Good morning.
Hello,
Hi.
Mrs. Garman.
Hi,
Good
Mrs.
morning.
Ferguson.
I'm here with that guy.
If your name was Mrs. Ferguson, you'd have more money. Too.
The former Mrs. Ferguson has a few bucks.
Yeah.
I'm here with that guy, honey, that you like.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
Really? Why would you be nervous? I'm here with that other guy that you like. or that you liked at one point.
Yeah,
how long have you guys been married?
Almost 3 years.
Oh, that's the golden years of marriage.
Is it?
It's to me. That's usually when that's coming. No, it's great. Do you have kids?
Not yet, no.
All right,
no.
So if you break up, it's just like you take these DVDs, I take these DVDs.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we split the dog.
Yeah, Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Carrie wanted to talk to you about the kids. She was hoping maybe you could help there, Craig, I think.
No, I can't. I'm barren.
You're barren.
Oh. I've got a son, but that was probably just a lucky
lucky shot.
Yeah, that was a lucky one.
Now let me ask Ralph's wife Carrie. He says you've been driving him crazy with this guy on the TV, and every night it's like, oh, we have to watch, even though it's in reruns. Oh, he's so smart. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, he's so good looking. Is that true? Is that what's happening there?
It is. And, you know, I'm married to Ralph, but I spend my evenings with Craig.
Oh,
sure. Because I go to bed early, and then she, you know, there's a faint buzzing coming from the other room while she's watching your show. You know what I'm saying?
Do you see now? Is that true?
It's absolutely true. Yeah.
That is so awesome. My life is complete. I love that. That's the only reason I got into show business. Ralph, thank you.
And my wife is also of Scottish descent, too. I think I might have said that.
You ruined it. No, it's family.
Everyone that's Scottish is family?
Sure. How do you think we get this crazy look?
She's a Watson. She's a Watson.
Watson. Oh, yeah. You married a Watson. Well, good luck to you.
Carrie, we would like to hook you up with Friday night tickets if you'd like to go see Craig. He's going to be at the Grove.
This Friday?
Yeah. You busy?
Front row?
Sure, can front row. You can touch him, sure.
Fantastic.
Backstage?
Okay, sounds like she's in.
Sit her on stage
now,
next
this
to Craig.
Is the Grove in Anaheim, not the Grove Mall in West Hollywood.
I thought you were going to do the tree lighting ceremony.
No, I'd like to do that. Actually, you know what? I took my kid down to see Santa at the Grove Mall, and he looked at I said, you want to go in to see Santa? And he looked in at Santa's dark little house, and he went, nah, I'll go next year. I was like, yeah, I know what you mean. It looked like a bar in there. I was like, oh, I don't know, man.
Bunch of drunk
elves. Yeah, that's like, you know, guys are saying, hey, you want to see Santa? Come on, it's just down here.
Dear God. Yeah. Next thing you know, therapy.
No, I don't like it. Yeah.
Craig, forget for a moment that Carrie is a married woman. How do you handle all the adoration from your female fans that you must encounter?
Well, this is the first time it's happened. I don't have that much adoration from people. What does happen sometimes is that, you know, people will come over to you, like men or women, especially if you don't. This probably happens to you guys as well because you talk intimately.
I'm sure it does.
Right? People come over and they go, hi, I listen to you or I watch you on TV, and you go, oh, thanks very much. And then nothing else happens because I'm there. And then they get angry at me.
For not talking?
For not talking. And I'm like, well, what? I'm just, you know, I'm in the bathroom, Senator Craig. I'm trying to, you know, I'm just trying to do my stuff and get out of here. And it's like, no, please, I've always enjoyed your work.
You're not
tricky.
Sure what they want from you?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, little notes coming through. It's
sure,
always about
a wide stance.
I've got a wide stance, too.
You do?
Tell you. Yeah, I do. Oh, very wide stance. Yeah, it's like, okay. You know, when I go to the bathroom, it's like sitting on a horse. That's
Carrie, does that change your mind any?
A little.
Yeah. It's not quite the turn on it used to be.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know that sound? That's the sound I've heard a lot of times in my life. Disappointed woman.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Well, listen, Carrie, we wanted to get you on just to give you a chance to say hi and find out what the deal is here. So Ralph's safe or he's not safe? Should he be worried?
A little bit.
A little worried.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right.
Craig. Highlight of my day.
Thank you very much, Kay. It's very nice to talk to you.
All right. Nice to meet
you. Ralph is very handsome as well, though, and he smells lovely. You do a good job with him. He smells like peaches.
Well, we bathe him.
Yeah, she scrubs me before she sends me out in the morning.
That's nice.
Hoses him off sometimes.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you, Carrie. Right.
Bye, Carrie.
Bye, hon.
All right. That's kind of sweet that you can do that at work. You can just call
my wife.
Yeah, that's nice.
And embarrass her publicly.
Yeah, and introduce
her to somebody that she's going to leave you for. Yeah, that's nice.
That would be ironic, though, wouldn't it?
This tape is going to go in evidence in the divorce proceedings, I'll tell you that.
Us Weekly runs the story. I knew that was happening.
Yeah, that would be really
weird. I'll give you their address if you want to continue this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good.
Excellent. That's perfect.
Yeah, no, it's
good times.
Craig is going to be at the Grove of Anaheim in Anaheim.
It's not the one with the Nordstrom. We've established that.
It's not the mall.
Is there a Nordstrom? I think there is a Nordstrom in Anaheim.
So. Yes,
not at the Grove.
No, at the Grove. All right. Okay.
I'm trying to clarify it, dude. You're not really helping much.
I know. I get all excited. It was something about a woman that I've never met said something vaguely nice about me, and now I can't concentrate for the rest of the day. Yeah.
You can call 714-712-2700 or visit Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets this Friday night. Listen, depending on how the strike goes, maybe we'll see you again soon, huh, Craig?
I was wondering if I could come in every day.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
I've got my Christmas album coming. coming out. Excellent. So I need to plug that.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's I'm dreaming of a, I don't know, Scottish Christmas. Potatoes roasting by an open fire.
See, I haven't worked on it much.
No, okay. Not at all.
Not actually. At all. Okay.
Happy Haggis days.
Happy Haggis days. No.
It doesn't really work.
No.
We'll work on it and get back to us. We'll have you.
No. If I work on it, I'd actually be scab, right?
And then, yeah. That's true. Well, does that mean your show on Friday night has to be all old stuff?
No. It has to be completely improvised. And I can't think about it before or write anything down.
Because that would be considered writing.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm not allowed to actually think.
So it's going to blow.
Yeah, it's going to be horrible, right?
Yeah, but in a very interesting way.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll blow spontaneously.
Greg, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
All right. It is the most wonderful time of the year, of course, because if you're like me and you love the holiday music and you love the holiday movies, you love this time of year because every single day there's another great show on the TV that you can watch or another great song on the radio. And that's why we brought in Ralph here with the holiday edition of Ralph's Video Vault.
This movie blows.
Wait, what are you saying?
There is a lot of great holiday movies this time of the year and specials you can watch and things you can watch. Don't watch this piece of crap.
This isn't one of them?
You know, we started talking about the fact that there's a theater down in Fullerton that's doing a live stage version of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Right.
All-time classic, right?
And it's not an all-time classic. It's a piece of crap.
Beaten
but it's an all-time classic, though. Well, I love it because it's so bad. When did this movie come out, Ralph? Early 60s,
1964
maybe?
It was released.
Okay.
And, it is truly one of the most horrible films ever made. It is like Plan 9 from Outer Space, that Ed Wood movie.
Right.
It's largely considered the worst film ever. This is right up there with that movie.
Okay.
This is a holiday movie. Here's a little taste of the theme music. To just to take your own life right there, listening to the theme song from
that's
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
That's quality all over, man. It sounds good, too.
The movie opens. That's a DVD copy, by the way.
Wow.
This movie's like no one bothered to ever, you know, remaster it or anything. They just slap it onto a DVD for $1.
No one's buying them.
Well, you can get it like in the 99-cent store for like $1, I'm sure. But they've got the thing opens with a TV interview. They've sent a TV crew up to interview Santa at the North Pole.
Okay.
On television. And the interviewer is asking Santa about Christmas and how he's going to operate this year. And this is what passes for humor in Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Tell me, is it true that this year there's a rumor that you're going to use a rocket sled?
No, sirree. We're going out the good old-fashioned way with my reindeer. Prancer and Dancer and Dunder and Blitzen and Vixen and Nixon. Nixon, what I get? I always consonant. I get those names mixed up.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you in the least.
Cutting edge political humor.
And Nixon, what? What did I just say?
Oh,
that's crazy,
man.
Booga.
Wow.
Well, the problem is, Kevin. While this is being aired here on Earth TV, the Martian children are watching.
No, they're not.
The Martian kids watch our Earth programs because apparently there's no Martian television.
Really?
So they pick up the TV feed from Earth, and the kids are watching Earth TV, which just makes the Martian parents furious.
Boma, Gemma, I told you not to watch those silly Earth programs. Now go to sleep.
Must we go to sleep now, Father? I want to see Santa Claus some more. I want to see more toys.
No, go to sleep.
Those Martian kids.
Well,
that is Kemar, the leader of the Martians, talking to his two kids, his boy, Bomar, and his girl, Germar, who he raises with their mother, Momar.
Well, sure.
Momar, Bomar, and Germar, and Kemar.
Are they trying to be this bad?
No.
They're not.
And no.
Wow.
So, Kemar's upset that his kids seem listless. They won't eat, they won't sleep, they seem depressed.
Right.
So he goes to Chochum. Chochum,
which is
the 800-year-old wise man of Mars,
okay,
and asks them, what can we do about our down-in-the-dumps kids, Chochum?
What do you advise?
The children must be allowed to be children again. They must learn to play. They must learn what it means to have fun. We need a Santa Claus on Mars.
See, he's old.
Why is he crying?
He's old, so he talks really feebly.
He's crying.
A fine performance.
We need a Santa Claus.
Carl Don as Chochum.
I feel like I could have been in this movie.
You could have. You could have written, starred, produced, directed, and you would have come up with something 100 times better than this. So the Martians have to go to Earth, and they got to find Santa, and they got to kidnap him and bring him back to Mars so he can be Santa for Martian kids so that they can learn to be joyful.
This is a true story? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Martians pick up two little Earth kids, Billy and Betty.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And they force them to tell them the whereabouts of Santa Claus, which is, of course, the North Pole. And they bust into Santa's workshop. They incapacitate his elves, who are trying to protect him, with a toy gun, with a laser gun that looks like you got it at the in the back of a comic book. And the sound effects, by the way, no cost was spent. No money was spent on the special effects in this movie. Listen to the pop of the pop gun that gets fired at the elf that incapacitates him.
Santa Claus, you're coming with us.
No, you can't take him now. It's too near Christmas.
Quiet, you.
But...
We don't want to hurt you, Santa Claus, so come along quietly.
Why? Why did you have to do that to my helper?
What are you, Stone Santa? Worst performance of Santa ever by this dude. So Billy and Betty.
Quiet you. Quiet you. It's like the Three Stooges.
Billy and Betty and Santa get taken on the Martian spaceship to Mars. And while they're on their trip, they get fed dinner. But the Martians don't eat regular food.
Are you kidding? It's different?
They take pills, Kevin.
For dinner.
When you get chocolate ice cream on Mars, they give you a pill, and that's your chocolate ice cream.
Okay.
That's crazy.
That is out of control.
And the craziness of that fact is not lost on Santa.
Some chocolate ice cream.
Pills for dinner. I suppose if a Martian has a headache, he doesn't take pills. He takes chocolate ice cream. Oh, dear.
That's what we're thinking, Santa.
Wow. Well, I think that's the actor reacting to the script, and the cameras were still rolling.
Wow.
It's going, oh, dear.
I suppose when they have a headache.
This movie was made in 1964. I think some people claim it was made for kids. I think it was made for college students just starting to experiment with acid.
Sure.
Because there is a scene in this movie, and I'm not kidding you, and I'm going to play it in its entirety. It's a little long. But Santa, Kemar takes Santa to meet his kids, Bomar and Germar.
Right.
And he just introduces them. He takes Santa into the room with Billy and Betty.
Uh-huh.
And he says, here's Santa. And he leaves the room, and no one says anything. But they all start to laugh uncontrollably for about 8 minutes.
At what?
No one knows!
They just start laughing.
It's a surreal, acid-trippy moment in this film. It's just weird.
Okay.
For your pleasure.
We have another Earth person that wants to see you. What's that? They're laughing. Bomar and Germar, too.
They've never laughed before.
They've never laughed before until Santa got him stoned.
Wow.
That's the point, though, is that Santa has brought happiness into the children's lives.
But he doesn't do anything.
You don't think we know that?
He doesn't give him a gift. He doesn't say Merry Christmas. He doesn't take him on his knee and be nice to him. He just stands there and has a weird look on his face. He just starts laughing at him, and they start laughing back.
It's his presence. It's his mere presence.
No, it's acid or mushrooms or something.
Yeah.
So they put Santa to work on Mars making toys.
Okay.
And he's sad because he used to make the toys by hand, but on Mars, it's all done by machine.
Sure.
So he just pushes a button all day.
Sure.
And please listen carefully at the end of this touching scene with Santa Claus as he gives the Jewish exclamation, oi, at the end to show his discomfort.
Look at me. Santa Claus, the great toy maker, pressing buttons.
That's automation for you. Technology. Oi.
Oi.
Wow.
Oi, technology.
Wow.
Oi.
This is worse than you described.
It's horrible. Well, Germar and Bomar.
You're losing interest, Ralph.
Have a babysitter named Droppo.
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 Yes,
Martian,
Droppo.
Who okay. is a wacky comic relief in this film.
Oh, good.
And he decides that he's going to put on Santa's costume to try to fool the bad guys, Voldar and his crew. Trust me, you don't want to know.
Okay.
But anyway, it all ends up at the end where everyone lives happily ever after.
Sure.
And Droppo is delivering all the toys to the kids.
Okay.
So they don't need Santa on Mars anymore because Droppo's now going to become the Santa Claus of Mars.
Okay.
Please enjoy.
Ho, 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 everybody! Merry Christmas!
You don't need me here, Kemar. You've got a wonderful Santa Claus of your own.
Ho, ho, ho!
And Santa takes Billy and Betty and Jess gets on a spaceship and leaves.
That's a whole movie?
There's no conquering of the Martians at all
if
Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
No, they let him go, basically.
But all right, see ya. Merry Christmas. Bye. Ho, ho, ho.
But the title is Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
No conquering. There's no conquering at all.
He just
Not
laughs.
One.
He taught them to laugh.
He laughs and he pushes buttons and he says, oi.
As sad as Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is, it is Pia Zadora's best work, don't you think, Ralph?
Pia Zadora does play Germar. 8-year-old Pia Zadora plays Germar, the Martian 8-year-old girl on Mars.
I think the entire movie had a budget of about $2,000.
I wish
I'm just
I could show
I'm just
you,
guesstimating.
If I could just visually show you one scene, it would be where Betty and Billy are taking the Martians to the North Pole, and there's an attack by a polar bear. They get attacked by a polar bear.
Yeah.
And you will not believe
the guy in the suit.
They have wrapped in some sort of polar bear rug who's going, walking through cornstarch or whatever's doubling for snow on this airplane hangar where they shot this movie. You will not believe someone let that happen put it on a camera.
This might be the worst movie ever.
It's right up
there. It's close. It's close.
It is a stinker.
We have to go see the live show on stage that you told us about, Ralph. It has to be great, right?
Yeah, I wish I had the details here, but it's a theater in Fullerton, and I will find out the details if you want to go. But apparently, I'm sure it's hilarious when they do it straight. I
sure.
mean, they replicate the movie on stage line for line. But yeah, it's just god awful.
So rent it or don't rent it?
Rent it, you're saying?
Buy it. Go for a buck.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ralph.
Right.
Time for the showbiz with Ralph. Sorry.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah, I'm still thinking about that movie.
Aren't we
that.
All? I just. Pulled some research from our crack staff of researchers in the other room. It is called the Maverick Theater in downtown Fullerton.
There you go.
That's the name of the theater that's doing Santa Claus Conquers the Martians all the way up through December the 30th. You can see it right now. That's at 110 East Walnut Avenue in Fullerton. And you can go to mavericktheater.com for all the details. That's where you can buy your tickets and stuff. But I think Bean's right. I think I got to get down there and check this
sounds
out.
Great.
Because it sounds just hilarious.
Quiet, you.
Quiet, you.
You're coming with us, Santa. Why? Why did you have to do that?
Who had
stuff.
Scott Weiland in the DUI pool?
No one.
Oh, not me.
TMZ.com told us yesterday that Scott was nabbed by the cops on November the 21st after he got into a little fender bender on an L.A. freeway. Apparently, the police believed he was altered in some way while he was driving.
Did you hear the message he left on TMZ.com's answering machine?
No.
I spent all my money on hookers. No. I spent all my money on blow. I spent all my money on everything. I don't even know where to go.
Yeah,
well, no, that's
defense rests.
That's Beer Mug, our intern.
It's just new lyrics, I think. good news for Zep fans. Led Zeppelin, of course, reuniting for a big show in England. And a lot of people in the U.S. were here, were bummed because they couldn't get over there to see it. Well, it looks like they're going to be playing in the United States next year, June, to be exact, at the Bonnaroo Festival in Manchester, Tennessee.
Bonnaroo.
So there you go. If you want to go see Zeppelin, there's your opportunity.
Is this the beginning of a tour being announced? Or
they say that they are going to put some dates together for the U.S. However, lead singer David Wayne...
Robert Plant.
Robert Plant. Is it David Blaine?
David Blaine, yes.
That'd be a trick.
Is also performing with Alison Krauss because they've just released an album together.
Right.
So he's going to have to work around that. But hopefully there'll be some more Zepp dates coming up in the future here in the States. Owen Wilson is definitely not dating Bionic Woman Michelle Ryan.
Lucky for him, because you were about to take him out.
It would have been a slap down. I mean, I was going to take Ferguson out. I got to take Wilson. I got a lot of enemies in Hollywood.
You do. Seriously, dude.
A lot of feuds. I'm like a rapper, yo. I got a lot of beefs. Yo, yo. You feel me?
So it's not okay for your wife to want Craig Ferguson. It is okay for you to claim ownership of the Bionic Woman.
Thank you. Finally, somebody gets it. Owen Wilson, Michelle Ryan, she says they've never even met, so she is not dating him, 100% not dating him.
Well, if they never met, that does seem like it's unlikely then.
Yeah, hasn't stopped me.
No.
Hasn't stopped me from dating her.
That's true.
In my mind. And Ashley Tisdale.
Nose.
Had a rhinoplasty last Friday. She had a nose job. She told People magazine that it was, of course, not for any cosmetic reason.
No.
But she had a deviated septum.
Why would she say that? She has an ugly nose, right? I mean...
But more importantly, she had a deviated septum.
Well, I know that she's saying that.
She's always had trouble breathing.
Right.
I did this to help my health, she said. I literally almost could not breathe out of the right side of my nose. She literally almost couldn't.
How did she live this long?
I have no idea. A lot of mouth breathing, I guess.
I've had that that surgery done twice, you know. Same surgery she's talking about.
And look at your face.
Yeah, no kidding. Neither time improved my looks, by the way. It is possible to get it done because you have a deviated septum.
She said she didn't want to be someone who had to act like nothing was done. She wanted her younger fans to know why she had the procedure.
Okay.
She'll be covering for the next couple weeks, and then she goes to work on HSM3.
Oh,
High School Musical 3 begins filming early next year. Giddy
up.
It's about the senior prom. That's the plot of the new one. The third movie is going to be all about the prom.
I'd rather watch Santa Claus Conquers the Martians than watch 1 minute of any of the High School Musicals.
Me too.
I'd rather just spend my just Droppo over and over and over again. Me and Kemar and Droppo and Bomar and Germar and Mamar.
More than Sweet Zach.
Definitely.
Then I don't even know who you are anymore.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jeff Bridges, one of my favorite all-time actors. He is 58 years old today. Marisa Tomei, Oscar-winning actress, is 43. And Tyra Banks, who...
Do you know what you want to do when you're not modeling anymore?
Yes, I want to...
Hang out with my boyfriend, Bean.
She said it on the show. Don't look at me. Don't give me that look.
Creepy.
Yeah.
He lowered his voice to impersonate a woman. That's what cracks me up about that.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wait, what day of the week is it again, Kevin? I forgot.
Tattoo Tuesday.
That's right. We had the K-Rock Vans in location all over Southern California this morning. And all morning long, we've been inviting you to stop by the Wahoo's Fish Taco location where the Vans were and show us your tattoos of the bands that are playing this weekend at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. We left it pretty wide open. It doesn't matter if you got the Linkin Park, if you got a Feist, if you got a Spoon, a Rise Against, whatever the tattoo is, we wanted to see it. And then we promised that whoever had the biggest tattoo would win the tickets for both nights in the pit. And that's the phone call we're making right now.
Person doesn't know.
This person stopped by in Long Beach this morning.
What happened? Did you get a number?
It's not ringing.
Didn't ring?
Hmm.
It'd be funny if she didn't give us a real phone number. Or he.
Well, he or she went to all the trouble to show up with a tattoo. You'd think they'd want to be able to be in contact with us if they win.
That is what you would think. By the way, we have pit tickets for both nights.
That's unbelievable. If only Mike could dial the phone.
Wait, how's that working out?
Hello? Ooh.
Hello?
Yeah?
Is this Elizabeth?
Yes, it is.
Is this the Elizabeth with the gigantic Muse red piano tattoo on her shin?
Yes, it is.
Aw, do we have good news for you? Your tattoo was the biggest, and you have pit tickets for both nights.
Oh, my God.
So you're gonna go Saturday night. You're gonna see Linkin Park, Angels and Airwaves, Avenged Sevenfold, Bad Religion, Paramore, Rise Against, Serj Tankian, and on Sunday night, you're gonna see The Shins and Spoon and Silver Sun Pickups and Modest Mouse and Jimmy Eat World and Feist. Oh, and Muse.
Oh my God, are you serious?
In the pit both nights.
Oh wow, thank you.
Elizabeth, tell us about that tattoo. Obviously, you're a diehard Muse fan. How long have you had it?
I got it about 4 weeks ago.
4 weeks ago?
Oh, wow, it's new. And how did you decide on that particular image?
Well, it's one of their logos.
Right.
It's the piano with birds coming out of it.
Mm-hmm. And how did you decide to make it so big, which turned out to pay off pretty well for you today?
Yeah. Well, I didn't want just a small one, you know. I wanted people to see it.
She wanted a real-size piano with real-size birds coming out of it.
No kidding. Well, that's what she did.
Have you seen Muse in concert before?
Yeah, I have. I've seen them in... I saw them at the Forum and at Irvine.
It's pretty hard to find a better live band.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it.
There. They're great. Yeah. Have you ever been like right up close and personal? Like you're going to be this weekend in the pit?
Yeah, I was in the pit at the Forum.
Fantastic!
Wow. All yeah. right. Well, you guys deserve to be together. Then it sounds like you're a good combination.
Congratulations, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you on hold, and they'll pick up and give you all the details.
Okay.
Both nights. Thank you. Hold on. We'll give you all the.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You may or may not realize this, but every Tuesday is New Music Tuesday. Keep listening to K-Rock for updates on new releases, or, of course, check out iTunes. And today you get 50 free songs from iTunes just for being on our little dog and pony show for Kevin Amin's What It Do, Nephew.
All right, let's begin with Jay in El Segundo. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
What it do, Jay?
Hey, guys, I just want to tell you thanks so much for the Slide Bar Cafe and donating all those toys to Toys for Tots. And also want to let people know that if they didn't get a chance, they can still donate toys. We're having a Rock for Tots charity event at the Lighthouse Cafe in Hermosa Beach on December 14th. And that runs from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to about 1:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And we have 8 great bands. They're going to be there. Some of which you know, some of which you don't know. And also, it's going to be sponsored by Guitar Center and Jeremy Buck and the Bang, who is a local resident there at the Lighthouse. And just want to get the word out so people, right, in case they didn't get a chance to donate toys, could come on down.
I got to tell you what was cool is it was pouring rain last Friday morning when we did the Miss Double D thing. And the Marines were there, and there were like 200 people that came down that couldn't get in. But still dropped off the toy.
Yeah, that was very nice.
That was nice. Yeah.
We'd like to thank Sergeant really cool. Areola especially for his hard work.
Kind of cute.
I think toysfortots.org is the site. And by the way, if you weren't able to be with us on Friday, we did put up a video. Lightning Scorsese put together an outstanding video of all the girls. Ralph, you're doing the interview portion. We've got that up for all the girls, the questions you asked and their answers. Bikini shots, the actual coronation, Cassidy actually walking after she won. She couldn't have been any happier. I mean, it really is a cool video. You got to check it out. At KRock.com.
I hope Cassidy's still alive, by the way.
Why do you say that?
Why? What's wrong? What do you mean?
She was on her way to Vegas.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right after the show.
Yeah.
She just
right.
turned 21. Yeah. First time in Vegas. First time being there at 21 years old. She may not have come back to us. That's all I'm saying.
Hopefully she will.
Hopefully we'll see her Saturday night at her first ever concert.
Let's go to Leo in Bell. Good morning, Leo.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Nothing much. So this past weekend, my brother convinced me to go to church with him and his family.
Always a bad idea, by the way, church.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Well, his three-year-old daughter, my niece, she they're having this like kind of like Santa Jesus Christmas giveaway thing.
Right.
And the guy's dressed in white, and my niece ended up throwing up all over Jesus.
Yes.
Oh!
Now you're getting somewhere.
The best part is, who's going to forgive you more than Jesus if you throw up on him?
That's true.
Exactly.
Good point.
He just turns the other cheek. It's a good thing about Jesus.
Got any more?
Great thing about Jesus. Go ahead, throw up on me. I don't care. I love you anyway.
So you could do anything to Jesus, yes. Ralph? If I come across him on the street today, I can kick him in the teeth. It
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter because he still loves me.
He's like, I love you. Bless you. Thanks for the kick in the teeth. That's Jesus
wow.
right there.
Wow, that's fantastic. I'm going to serve him.
Good
that's
guy,
fantastic.
Though, Jesus.
Yeah, that's what you're going to do, Bean.
Hey, let's talk to Jose down on line 8. He's in Downey. Our sports guy covered this earlier today, but I want to make sure we mention it again. Good morning, Jose. What to do?
What to do, guys? I know Ralph is stealing me on this one. How could they call a penalty on a fourth down play when the game is on the line? Never have I seen that in 20 years of watching
football.
But
it was a penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, there's contact all the time when you're playing football. I mean,
yeah.
I can't believe they made that call, man. On fourth down, they bailed them out. How are they not going to?
Those of you that don't follow football, the Patriots are going undefeated so far, and they came so unbelievably close to getting beat last night. They were behind the whole game. It got down to the end. The other team threw, Baltimore threw a pass down to the 2-yard line as the clock ran. It was crazy.
But it was Baltimore calling the timeout on that play at 4th and 1 when they were going for it. And they stopped them.
They stopped
but
them.
But it was all null and void because they had called it.
That was Baltimore's fault, Jose.
Even the good teams get the lucky calls, you know? So
no, but that was
word has come down from the NFL. They told the refs that they want them to be undefeated. So it's conspiracy.
That right?
It's big conspiracy.
Good for the sport.
Yeah. I see. All right, good. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Erica in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Erica. What it do?
Good morning. What it do, nephews?
What it do, hello, Erica?
Hello, Lisa May.
Hi.
What's going on?
So I was flipping through the channels the other day, and I came across Tyra Banks' show with Alicia Keys on it.
Bad, right?
It was bad.
Yeah.
So bad. She proceeded to try and be as poetic as Alicia Keys, and she decided to do her own poem, but she sounded like she was rapping from the ghetto.
She freestyled.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'd love to hear that.
You have to hear it. It's unbelievable.
It's so bad. Alicia Keys was looking at her like, oh, God, please stop. Just stop.
Tyra likes to think of herself in the same league as?
Oh, she likes to believe she's with everybody.
Yeah.
But so many women think that you pee and have a baby from the same hole. So many people think you...
That's...
Oh, no. So many people think that. They really do.
Come on. That's up.
When I hurt myself, I say, ouch. Alicia, it's great to have you on my couch.
No, she didn't.
She said that.
Oh, my God.
And by
God.
The way, they were sitting in two chairs at the time when she said, you're on my couch.
Well, it's the only room with the rhymes. What do you want her to do? Let's go to Adam in Glendale.
Glendale!
Morning. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. What it do?
What it do?
Lisa May, how's it going?
Good, Adam. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm sitting in traffic on the 10 freeway on my job.
Okay.
Well, and I was just asking, you know, if you guys heard about the Spice Girls show tonight. I mean, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
What are your opinions on that?
I have zero interest.
So?
I'd be there if I could. Couldn't get tickets.
Ralph wants to go, but couldn't get tickets.
They just opened up Sunday night in Vancouver. Apparently, very hot show. Everyone was raving about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's the Spice Girls we're talking about, right?
Damn Skippy.
Yeah, okay. I know they're terrible, but, you know, why not? They were a big icon in the 90s, you know. Why not go see them for the last time?
Exactly. Well, this
not is, really good enough for me.
No interest.
This is the first time all the Spice Girls members have been on stage together in 10 years. And you're right. It is going to be the last time. They say this is a one and only reunion tour, and then they're done. They'll never do it again, so they claim.
But they're still the Spice Girls,
and
right?
They are the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
All right.
And you can see them tonight on the Victoria's Secret special. That was actually their first performance together that they taped a couple weeks ago. So they are on the TV tonight. I know, Ralph, it's not much consolation for you not being able to see the full show. But at least
hardly
you got
the same as seeing them live, but I'll watch.
You'll probably live, I'm guessing, though.
Dude. Love the Spice Girls.
Let's go to, but seriously, it's the Spice Girls.
I'm telling you, I know, and I love them.
Ryan in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What it do?
What it do, Lisa May?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey. Question. What was up with that giant buildup for Heroes for such a disappointing end of the first half of that season?
You high? It was great last night.
Are you kidding me? That last night was the, like, old... I think the whole second season doesn't compare to season one, but...
Well, you're wrong.
I
agree. I agree with that.
Well, Bean's wrong.
Okay, just the cheerleader, cute, but does not make up for the second season. This whole second season is just a complete letdown, especially last night.
You're wrong.
I didn't think it was too bad. I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Completely wrong.
You liked it?
I did.
All the saving, coming back to life.
But I'm easy. Yeah, they did get killed and come back to life a little.
That's the nature of that show, though.
Right. Well, no,
but then don't waste our time with killing characters if you're going to bring most of them back to life. I think you are jerking the audience around at that point if you get us invested in characters that then there's supposed to be some sort of emotional payoff because they get killed if they're going to come back 20 minutes later.
Right.
You can only go to that well so often.
And then how come Zero says, Pizza Petrelli, how come Nathan doesn't die or how come he doesn't get to get brought back to life? I mean, his brother's the guy with the freaking magic blood. He gets shot. How come he's not coming back to life?
How do you know he's not?
Oh, I don't know, because you're going to have to wait a whole month and a half until we get to see something else.
Wow, you're a bitter young man.
Very angry.
You got a lot of issues.
Very angry.
I'm with you. I'm with you, dude. Thank you.
You're with Bean. That's your consolation prize.
That's what you get.
You and Bean are on the same page.
You get to spend time with Bean.
Nice. Go to the blog. Talk about letters. Go F yourself.
I will tell you, though, that although I wasn't crazy about last night, I think next Monday I'm going to be very sad when I look at my TV and realize it's not on anymore. And then the following Monday when it's still not on and it's still not on, I think I'm going to miss it. I will tell you that because it is still one of my favorite shows on TV.
I thought the press conferencing last night was amazing. I thought Siler in the alley at the very end was terrific. I thought a lot of good stuff was going on.
I think if you compare it to some of the best episodes of The Heroes, maybe not, but if you compare it to most other shows, it's head and shoulders above.
Right.
Head and shoulders.
I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including from Superbad, Christopher Mintz-Plasse joined us. He's McLovin, don't you know? And Superbad is one of Kevin's 10 favorite movies of all time ever. So this is a big, big day for him because it comes out on DVD today. You can own your own copy of the Superbad everywhere today. Also, how about Craig Ferguson? I want to say thanks to him and his new fiancée, Carrie, for joining us today.
How dare you?
Craig is going to be appearing at the Grove of Anaheim doing some stand-up Friday night, December 7th. That's this Friday night at 8:30. Call the Grove Box Office or visit Ticketmaster.com. Very, very funny guy. Even though he's the competition, Ralph, you have to admit, you've lost to a worthy man.
Oh,
there.
Look at me, how charming I am with my voice all doing this. Never with him.
Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to author/former stripper Diablo Cody about the movie Juno.
Looks great. That's the wrong button right there.
I'll get it. Hello.
There we go. Much better. Go.
All right.
What? Beans and a-hole? I got to go.
We also have Damian Lewis from the show Life. Yes.
Life last night was awesome. And part two is tomorrow night of the season finale. And I couldn't be more excited. The guy rocks.
Is it too late to get on board with that show, Ralph?
No. No, just because the second half of the season finale is airing tomorrow night, you should absolutely get on board on the second half
caught,
of the two-hour finale.
Up,
all right, fine. You'll plug right in.
Just jump right on.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about the show How to Marry a Green Card or something like that. I don't know what the title is exactly.
Who wants How to marry a U.S. citizen.
Yes, that one. LaQuisha has a look at A Shot of Love with Tila Tequila.
Is that not over yet, that show?
No.
Please, let it be over.
We're also going to call a K-Rock Street team member with tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. And we have pit tickets for both nights tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What was that?
Leonard Nimoy will kick Kevin's ass.
Pin tickets for both nights. That's what that is.
Okay, I just want to make sure we all understood correctly.
One winner, both nights.
All right. Two girls, one cup.
Got Stop.
Cat is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop, K-Rock, Linkin Park, Everclear, Foo Fighters, new one from Spoon, Blink-182, Muse, and more right after this on K-Rock.